to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Look, the key for me is to keep expectations low.
But you know, just to go back to Ben Roethlisberger, you don't hear that too often from a coach, do you? I want my quarterback to hold it longer.
You never hear that.
No, you don't hear it. But he knows the size. His greatest talent almost is that he's big, that he can move around just enough, break tackles, give the offensive line a little break, give the receivers a chance to get open down the field.
Timeout.
What's this stink of it doing in there?
This town needs an enema.
Welcome to the Don and Michael Show.
I hope you're rotten hell, you loser!
Don.
Geronimo!
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Hey, go take those, man.
America's favorite jerky.
I'm so wasted.
They're back.
Yee-haw! Welcome to the Don and Mike Show.
That would have been 2 days in a row if we had actually been on the air yesterday at this time.
Yeah, you played that one yesterday. We love that one. It's short, it's sweet, it's got a little reverb.
That's a good one by Perry Noid. Hey there, Kong.
Yes.
Are we on the air?
Yes, we are. Man, you know, if you were upstairs in this studio building about half an hour ago,
yeah. You
would have thought something happened to take us off the air. Jeff Lockridge was up there, and something blew up in his office.
Wow.
And all I smelled, no, not that. Electrical fire. It was
really
amazing up there.
Electrical fire, right.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
All right, look out.
Oh, look out.
Brother, what can I do to help?
Fancy dicks you got here.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
Cut the jibber jabber.
Hello! Hello!
Hello?
We're a lot of AM radio stations.
I love this song. It samples Mr. Big Stuff by Gene Iden, done by Everclear.
Is that what the kids are listening to today?
Oh, they were about 5 years ago when this song came out.
Of course.
Well, see, that's my timeline.
Of course, Bruce.
For me, yeah. This is a new song.
I like this song. You played it for a long time.
Damn, you're very sexy. You have a boyfriend?
I do not.
I will undress you. You will undress me, okay?
Okay.
Did you bring condoms with you tonight?
Oh, I did. Look out.
Oh, look out! Sit down!
Oh,
yeah.
Come on, Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
you can hear it.
Here's
Don and Mike.
Thank you, B.E. And you can tell by the smell. This is the Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And 110806.
It is November 8th.
2006. You can call us from anywhere in America, including Canada, our 51st state. Yes, don't give me the thumbs down on that, Rob. State number 5-1. What would you rather have? 51 be Canada or Mexico?
I don't want either.
I think Borat wants to attack them.
Well, he should. There's so many of them on the border ready to attack us.
I'll take a Canadian over a Mexican any day.
I can't make that decision.
I'm not
Choose
going
right
to make
now.
That decision.
Choose right now. It's the brand new game show hosted by Dave Coulier.
Canadian or Mexican?
I refuse myself. There you go. I got that in first.
Mexican.
Oh!
Buzz, break the tie.
I'd rather have Mexican.
The food,
the food's better.
It is better food, and they don't speak French.
Good luck, guys. Good luck.
Hey, as long as we've got grass to be cut.
If it came to the ladies, I'd probably go Mexican.
See. Again. Sorry. I'm in Canada all the way.
Selma Hayek, right?
Good luck. Good luck finding a donkey show in Quebec.
Good luck drinking the water.
Hey, they got beer. They got those seconds.
Okay, here's a test. In 5 seconds, give me a hot Canadian.
Alex Trebek.
Oh, I got one. I actually have one.
Huh?
Who? Shania Twain.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, well, they fixed her.
Yeah, they fixed her. Did you see
her
early
on? She's like a bionic girl.
She didn't have any teeth.
She has a bandage.
Well, they're all fixed. You know what I mean? Every good-looking woman has been fixed.
You mean spayed?
If only. Okay, phone number. 877-365-3636. We're on your computer. Our website is donandmikewebsite.com. Just click on Listen Live. If you want to send some fan mail, go ahead. Write it to donandmikewebsite.com. And we also iPod for you. We put the show on podcast. Doing so well. CBS jamming up commercials all over the thing. So
wonderful.
So good luck. Good luck with that. It's on iTunes. And howdy, Canada.
Canada. That great anthem. I will always love their national anthem.
Just remember, when it comes time to pick our 51st state, because both you guys are jumping in on us here, we're going to...
I did not make the statement. I said...
We're going to build the walls
if
now.
If it was just women...
No.
Because of Selma Hayek back.
No, I asked you in the very beginning, and you recused yourself.
Would you like the real answer? Can I undo the recusing?
Yes.
I will say Canadians, because I played a lot of hockey with Canadians, and I have...
No.
I have dear friends that are Canadians.
And many other reasons. That you just won't say now, just for the same reasons I'm picking Canadians over Mexicans.
Well, no, I have it probably, I have more of a reason than any of you that you guys are probably not aware of. That my grandfather on my mother's side is French-Canadian. Rob, I'm going to smack you. That is, Rob looks away. Rob looks away like you'd see in a movie. So we go, oh, my.
And it's really.
He can no longer come to the club.
This is the only time that you'll ever hear Rob Spiewak standing up for Mexicans.
Well, right. It's the lesser of two evils.
No, but
you're ignoring the obvious choice for state 51.
I got a French-Canadian grandpa.
Who's that? Oh.
Cuba.
Cuba?
Yeah.
Nice. Cuba's going to be our next vacation destination.
So make it a state.
Man, I would love that to happen. You know, wouldn't it be great if they made Cuba like it was back in the mafia days?
Yeah, we're going to make it.
When Fredo got the kiss?
It's going to be not a 51st state, but an adult playland.
That'd be great.
That is where it'll be.
So it'll be part of Florida then?
In essence, yes. Disney World for adults, but not Disney World. All the things that adults like. Gambling.
Yeah.
Nudes.
Yes.
Topless beaches.
Right. Lots of
the world's best cigars. The world's best booze.
But you got to go down there and clean it up. Put a coat of paint on it. Sure. Because I've seen pictures of it on the TV.
Well, that's why you get
it's really a mess.
Capitalism will fix that.
That's where you get Days Inn or someone to underwrite it.
Right, right.
Not Red Roof.
But I'd like them to keep those old vintage cars they drive down there.
There's only 10 cars on the whole island.
Like those old Russian cars?
Yeah, they have those ancient, 1950s cars that they drive around.
Here's the thing. We could have some of the locals with that for flavor.
For color, yes.
But let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, like props, like you'd have at Disney World.
Exactly. Let's be honest.
Perfect.
Everywhere else, we have big, shining, brand-new American automobiles everywhere.
So are you saying you want to make Cuba the 51st state? Is that what you want to do?
I would annex it.
Just invade it?
Yeah. It's not worthy of being a state.
Let's make it a commonwealth.
It would make a goddamn great adult playground. Like I said, no kids allowed.
How close is Cuba to Puerto Rico? Because together they could make a state.
Yeah, I mean,
why do you have to get Puerto Ricans involved?
There's a long ways away.
There is.
Between Cuba and Puerto Rico.
And he's right. Cubans got the cigars.
Cuba's got everything. They've got everything.
I like the idea of making it a state, though.
Here's the only bad thing about Cuba. They got a big dick running the country.
But he's dying.
He's not around for long. I saw a picture of him. He's like hourly.
Yeah, but his brother Jeb is ready to take the job.
Jeb Castro wears the same suit. Wears the same uniform.
Wears that army suit.
Educational program.
Sure
I think
is.
Kids tuning into this program will be educated at the end of the day.
Anyway, well, maybe I'll blog about that. I am going to blog again this week. I think I mentioned it yesterday, and I think Mike maybe has blogged out. Buzz, it would be nice if you blogged at some point.
Be happy to join
you. Rob, you can blog. You can do what?
A beer blog.
A beer blog.
I said beer.
Okay.
That too.
Okay.
A beer blog?
I wasn't joking. I was serious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Oh, I thought you were making like a beer bong joke.
No, no.
No, he'll write about beer.
Oh, no, I will write about beer.
You know what? Take it back.
Hold on a second. I'll give you the...
The opposite. The opposite of the crickets.
What would the title of your essay be?
Why did Germany do it right? And why does America do it wrong?
About beer.
Yeah. Yeah, about beer.
And
and
other things.
Well, you can draw parallels.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don, okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you, you know, I think that Canadians might be better. You were talking about hot women that came from certain areas. Pamela Anderson came from Canada, but that was on the east side. They don't speak French.
Really? She's Canadian?
Yeah, I forgot that she is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She was actually centennial, or it was like the millennium baby. She was born sometime by the century thing.
She's like plastic surgery gone bad.
She is. She was hot. Man, I mean, she was turbo hot before she started doing her best work.
Really, all that stuff has worked for, though, is Big Sloppy Anna Nicole Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goddamn, even while she's in mourning.
And that Entertainment Tonight reporter that completely kisses her ass, when they asked him, do you think she was under the influence of any kind of medication? And she's just there going, it's ridiculous.
She looks so hot.
She does look hot.
So you saw Brittany on Letterman?
Yes, I did. I saw that too. But I'm trying to think when I saw Anna Nicole Smith. Because, you know, when I saw it was last night. And I was so excited. We were in the process of getting a TV for the kitchen. We're TV-less in the kitchen right now. And so I ran upstairs into the bedroom.
I hate to hear that.
That I'm TV-less.
Oh, man.
I'm really, really trying to get the right one done.
Mike,
this has been a difficult decision.
For right now, it doesn't matter.
Go on.
It doesn't matter.
But I'm not going to get a crappy one,
Get a battery one. Just a house. Mike.
It's really terrible. You know what I was doing? I was listening to the radio this morning while I was eating my breakfast.
Oh, that's blasphemy.
I'm looking at a really nice RCA 36-inch console. But you know what was gross?
Who listens to the radio?
I grabbed my dinner and I run upstairs in the bedroom, It's that E! Entertainment thing. And you know what they're showing as I dive into my little chicken and rice? It's Anna Nicole Smith, like, C-section that they're showing on E! Entertainment. No, it was foul.
Yeah.
And she was out of control. Yeah. Because she was in the... she's going back and forth. She's going back and forth. She's crying and she's saying, I hurt my baby. I hurt my baby. It's going to be okay.
And your baby, and your baby. She looks hot, though.
She didn't look hot there.
But what about Brittany on Letterman?
Phenomenal. Absolutely incredible. I mean,
really?
As good as I have ever seen her look. It was the right outfit. Almost a gold digger kind of outfit, Dean Martin's old gold digger. I know it's an ancient reference, but she had that mod kind of retro 70s look to her.
Yes. And
she looked awesome.
Just to show you how screwed up our society is, I know the New York Post is not a bastion of journalism, but the front page today of the New York Post, three quarters of it is Britney Spears and her incredible jugs wearing that tight dress. And then the lower third says, oh, yes, Democrats sweep.
Well, that's probably because of the political angle of the paper.
But that's the way. But to a large extent, that's the way even the major media outlets are covering it. I mean, after all the hype today, I'm watching on the Today Show, and they were knee deep into it for about 20 minutes before they said, "Oh yes, and Britney and K-Fed." Now they all laughed about it, like, "Oh, this is not real news." But they came right out at 7:30 with it.
Did you hear that he had to beg his promoter, like one of these managers at the theater, to not cancel the show?
Yes,
like a couple of the shows. He had to beg him not to do it. I love that. I don't know why I don't like that guy, but I don't like that guy.
And his new name is FedEx.
FedEx. FedEx. That is fantastic.
FedEx. So, well, goodness, why didn't I vote?
Yeah.
Here's one reason I didn't vote. Is that
look what you're responsible for? Look at you! It's because of you that we've got this whole up in the air thing in Virginia now. This recount.
No, Mike, listen. That's exactly the problem. I don't understand why in this modern age.
Yeah, you're right about
that. Why? Here's the thing. You hype this goddamn thing for months and months and months.
Mm-hmm.
You know that yesterday's the day to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it can go late into the evening.
Yep.
2 a.m. 3 a.m. What really disheartens me about the process is waking up on the morning after, saying, who won?
Mm.
And they're saying, Well, it's too close to call, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to have to wait at least 10 days for all the absentee ballots, and then we're going to have a total recount, and then the lawyers are going to get involved. And when I hear this, and I hear this in Virginia, and I hear this in Montana, and these are two important states.
I think it's all done in Montana now.
Okay, well, then it's just, but Virginia's right. Still
Virginia,
important.
Virginia is the state we happen to live in. That's all of us, it comes
still
right
very important.
Yeah. Look at it this way. The game has gone into overtime.
Yeah, but I agree with Don that you've got, you know, in this day and age, why especially with these elections that have been travesties in the last, why don't we have a uniform system? I mean, everybody says that. Why don't we have a uniform system of voting? I used a touch screen with a computer, and I just don't understand why it can't be done more efficiently. I just do not understand why you can't have the kind of little piece of plastic, the machine that I voted on, and you can't have that everywhere. And it should be, you know what? And it should be at 8 o'clock when the polls close, when the last vote is counted, and you allow, an extra half hour if people are standing in line, and then when officially the polls are, you know, they check all the precincts, which doesn't take that long, and then bingo, here are your results.
And it's
insane.
The way I was watching it last night, there were quite a few of these races going down to the wire where they were saying, well, this guy is obviously lost, and this other guy standing up and saying, I've not lost yet, and it's going to come down. I mean, what happened to the time in politics when a guy was obviously getting his ass kicked, you know, by 5%? I really don't have a chance to win this. I can be a dick, and I can, like, go to court, and I can get lawyers.
You stand up and say, we fought the good fight. No, now it's got to be dragged out even longer.
What I don't understand, yes, there are millions of votes cast in Virginia, but
we can do American Idol. They turn that baby around in 12 hours.
Wasn't Florida some amazing amount, a small amount of votes as far as the presidential race?
27.
Yes.
27 votes.
And you've got...
No, I mean, it was really only 380 votes.
It's like 380 votes.
Like
you've got a difference. They're coming out and they're saying that there's a difference of roughly 7,000 or 8,000 votes between this guy in Virginia and the other guy.
Right.
And everybody says that even with a recount, it's not going to change things. So I think, why don't they just go, hey, let's move on instead of having a protracted thing, but I don't think it's going to happen like that.
Here's the difference, Buzz. If you play overtime in football, sudden death overtime.
Okay.
Eventually, the players get so tired, one team would win. And that's, unfortunately, the attitude that I think is prevailing here. It's like, well, if I can't win on election day, God, I won't give up this fight until I get the goddamn thing done.
And the thing is, it's being turned over to lawyers, and then I heard a panel of judges.
Bingo.
This scares me. And, you know, I swear to God, I would feel this way no matter who was in the lead. I really would. Because I know that in the long run, I really don't think it matters.
Right.
That's the way I was, the way every report that I was reading said, the guy that's got the most votes, when they get done with this thing, and I'm not talking about the recount, when they get done with the actual voting, and they say, this is the guy, we're going to do a recount because it's close, the guy that's in the lead always wins it.
Right.
That's the way I heard it. So why waste time and
why lawyer up?
Why lawyer up? Why let scummy, crappy lawyers and have the people that voted, that took the time to go out and vote.
Unlike me, I did not.
A big toothy grin on that one.
Either, you bet.
Big toothy grin on that one. I don't know
if they didn't vote.
I just hope it doesn't. I don't know. I've heard somebody said he might get pressure to pack it in, but you never know.
Which guy? Your guy? Or the other guy?
The other guy. Because my guy's winning.
And that may happen.
But it's just, it was fun, I tell you.
We're talking in particular about this race in Virginia.
Jim Webb against George Allen.
Okay. Who's in the lead? The last time I saw it was 50% for Allen and 49% for Webb.
Oh, no.
It shifted.
Webb
is now in the lead by 7,000.
Yeah, all day it's been Webb.
So what is the percentage now?
It's like 49 point something something to 49 point something something.
Right.
But it is, what it has come down to is 7 or 8,000 votes. That's what it.
Okay, well,
that's what separates.
If it's 7 or 8,000 votes, how tough is it to count 7 or 8,000 votes?
Right.
I mean, that's my...
Well, they've counted them. They're just saying it's because it's within this percentage that they're going to have to do a recount.
There's a law in Virginia, if it's less than a half percent or less than a percent, but I think that was established when they really had to count ballots.
Right.
I mean, the computer system is pretty flawless.
Well,
I know that ours works good here.
That's a great...
Never failed. But you know what? You know, I enjoy the show, Don, and it was a fun, fun show.
I was going to ask you, did you enjoy it like you enjoy a sporting event?
I enjoyed it, and the best moment of the night was when I turned it over to Comedy Central, and Stephen Colbert had red balloons. And he said, we don't have any blue balloons. because I really didn't think that the Democrats... No, he didn't have any blue balloons. He didn't think the Democrats were going to win. He said, so we really want to drop these balloons. So if you want to see the balloons drop, you have to vote Republican. And then he takes it a step further. He brings kids over, and they're real kids. You know, like one of the floor manager's kids or something. He said, hey, kids. Do you like balloons? And then they go, yeah. So who are we going to vote for? And they go, the Republicans. It was really, that. You know, I love it. That was a good moment of levity.
And let me see. Being as I'm just an observer,
yes.
I'm going to be very careful not to try to dominate the conversation with my views since I didn't vote.
Right.
You know, that whole thing, you didn't vote. Don't say, but I can still goof on the president.
Why don't you tell the truth and tell people that you did vote? You voted for the Green Party candidate.
Mm-hmm. As I always do. Ralph Nader. I write him in every year.
The Green Party candidate. Instantly endorsed by Jim Nance.
Hey, guys. Over the line, guys. I voted for the Loogie candidate.
Guys.
That's green.
Way over the line, guys.
My vote is my business. As a public figure, I will keep it to myself.
Over the line.
I write as an American.
Now you're making me laugh thinking about Jim Nance. God damn, I just forgot what I was going to say.
I lost my train of thought, too, I believe.
Thank you. I only wish that Bush's mea culpa, as it turns out, would be on in prime time. Mm-hmm. I know it's strategic by Bush to go on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, as he did today, when a vast majority of Americans are going to be at work or out buying crack or whatever it is that we do during the daytime. So, here's the deal. They got him up there, and the first thing he says is, and he's so bad with the jokes.
You know? Yes.
And I'm not going to attempt to be Mike and, right. ape him, mimic him, but the first thing he says, why all the glum faces? And it's really like...
Was he waiting for a big laugh?
I think he was, and he didn't get it. And, you know, meanwhile, they've already had on the bottom of the screen that he's going to fire Rumsfeld.
Right.
And all of the reporters have announced this before he's even come on. But I don't think he knows that they know. So he's going through all of this stuff, and finally he works to the moment with Rumsfeld. And they go to question and answer. And this is the downfall of the Bush administration, in my humble opinion. If he's going to be speaking at a podium at a press conference, do not allow the press feed to have an angle that shows the president from a side view when you can see him from the rear, as it was, and his body language reacting to questions. Because at one point, now, to look at him from the front, he's standing and he's got his hands on the podium, and he's got some index cards in front of him, and he's got some notes he's obviously working with.
Right.
But he's pretty much out there hanging himself, you know, like, hey, I screwed up, and I'm going to have to admit I screwed up, and I'm going to have to work this Rumsfeld thing. And when they start pounding him with the questions, they go to the other shot. And rather
shot
than,
from behind him?
Yeah. Now, rather than George Bush standing at the podium, feet on the flat on the floor, what he's got is his right foot is up, and it is... And it's on his right toe. It's almost like
doing the happy dance.
He's doing the nervous happy dance. He's standing on one foot.
Right.
And
is that the equivalent if you're sitting down where you're just like moving your knees back and forth?
Now, as the question drags on, the knee gets turned more and more. Like, would you please just stop with this?
Then, so he's physically twisting.
Now, if you're watching the body language, you know, you can see this. And then you see when the question's over, you see in his body, you see the pressure is gone, and then he plants his foot again, reestablishes himself, and then this is the real undoing. TiVo.
Oh, no.
They got a shot where they've got his prompting cards. They've got his talking points. Now... I'm not kidding. If anybody out there has, well, I'm sure that this will be on YouTube eventually, if anybody cares enough. For instance, he gets asked a question about Vietnam. Do the Americans think that Iraq is like Vietnam?
Okay.
And
valid question.
And while the question is being asked, they go to the shot of Bush from the rear, and you... No, not from the rear. And you see This time, rather than have his leg going round and round, while he's looking up, he's doing this. He's going through his index cards.
Paging through them.
And he's laying out three index cards in front of him. Now, I am such a dork that I go back on my TiVo.
You can actually see it? You can see the writing?
Yes. I go back and I see on the card directly in front of him, written in black Sharpie, is the word Vietnam. And it's underlined.
Okay.
All I see
good prep. Somebody anticipated that question.
Yep. All I see underneath it are three other... Now, I could not make out all of them written
right.
out. You see how big I've written
yeah,
out my...
Big letters.
Big letters. Yeah. Much like if
big
you...
Big block letters.
If you watch...
All capitals, please.
If you watch any talk show, you know, the host often has notes to remind
sure.
him what to talk
and
about.
And talk show hosts like Letterman, they have giant cue cards.
Like you, Don.
Yeah, well, and I write stuff down on cards as well. Yeah. But what I found really telling was... You know, they got to be slicker. The White House has got to be slicker to say, listen, first off, you know, you're putting him in an awful position. He's out there. He's having to defend this thing. He's having to.
And usually it's a one. I mean, it's the one shot. You get the shot of the president, then you get a shot of the reporters. It's kind of unusual to have the camera in back of him. I'd love to see that.
And
really
the
would.
Body language was just fantastic. And then the fact that he's working off the cards, and it's like, and he while the question's being answered, he's like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. And you see him looking down because they're showing him from the other camera
right.
until he finds the card that has the point. And
I wonder if he does that for all his press conferences.
I don't
you think he's got cue cards for all his... And I wonder if all presidents have little cue cards.
Anyways, I guess my long-winded point on this is it's too bad that most Americans will not see that. That was an hour today of George Bush... being reduced as much as he can be reduced to having to eat humble pie.
A little swagger gone, you
saying,
think?
Yeah, saying that he's got to get rid of Dumsfeld.
Did during the press conference, did they do the montage with the music from American Idol? Did they?
Although, what did he say? He would say stuff like he said, but, you know, they were very close. The elections were very close. But you know, in the House, we took a thumping.
Right.
And then a guy would stand up and say, well, hold on. You just said you took
a thumping.
And he would stop and... Buzz, were you watching this?
I was, yes. I remember this moment.
What were the jokes he was making to David Gregory? Every once in a while, he would just like go...
Great moments in political speeches.
Yeah, Gregory. Gregory would.
Probably inside and between them. I wasn't privy to a lot of what they were joking about. You know, David Gregory's very aggressive in his questions, and he and Bush have a little bit of a history. And David Gregory does look like he wears a wig. But the joke at that particular moment was that a thumping, according to the president, is a polite way of saying... And then the frat boy stopped himself because...
Because he almost said...
What did he use the statement go for ass kicking?
Yeah,
right,
he almost...
Probably.
And he really almost said it.
And that made the reporters laugh. I saw at least one reporter cover his mouth to try to stifle a little.
And Rove...
He's telling Tom.
His boy, Carl
That's
Rove.
That's the reporter you saw that covered his mouth. Yes.
Carl Rove is sitting over there. In a little chair.
Mm-hmm.
The architect.
And somebody... At one point, Bush says something like, Buzz, what was it that it was... Do you think, would you like to have a do-over? And he says, well, there are no do-overs. And then he says, did you work as hard as you could? And he said, I can't answer that question. I was out working as hard as I possibly could. Maybe you should ask Carl about that.
Yeah, I missed that moment.
He didn't work as
Carl's
hard.
He didn't work
as hard on it as I did.
Perhaps next time we'll use a different firm, you know.
Now, Buzz, did you notice the different camera shots of Bush that they would
go? No, what network? I was watching NBC, I believe. What network were you watching?
Well, the only station that my TV gets, CBS.
Oh, okay.
I was watching CBS.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't see it on Bravo when I was watching that today.
Was on CBS. Did Katie Couric have on her fake eyelashes again?
No, Harry Smith
had on fake eyelashes.
Harry Smith was on.
I like Harry
Smith.
Yeah,
he was hot. He was dressed like Katie Couric. I watched her last night. She was okay. I mean, I know I goof on her being a woman and everything.
Boy, I think I was really not a company man last night. I may not have. In fact, I can guarantee you I did not log any time. With CBS last night.
Nor did I.
It was CNN and MSNBC, and I went between the two in a little Comedy Central.
And I will tell you, the one man who high definition was not made for, Tom Brokaw,
Tom Brokaw's got the spots.
He's got spots all over his head, dude. Yeah. He's got age spots.
We're all going to have them, but he's got them right now.
I know, but someone needs to touch him up. I mean, it's one thing to
give him the makeup.
It's one thing to have Tony Kornheiser on with his incredible orange spots on TV. But
he looks like the his face looks like the head of the humor instructor in the movie Borat. Redheads are more prone to them. I think Brokaw, at the heart of it, at least as a kid, was a redhead. I think I've got a couple. I've got a couple early spots. You can have them burned off, I think.
Yeah, so I'm leaving. Really glad that Tim Russert has no spots. Just male beauty.
One big spot.
I like the
what?
Collar rolls in. When he looks forward, his collar rolls in.
He's a member of the Big Bang. I was watching, is it CNN, Don, that had Bill Bennett on last night?
He's a big fat guy.
Yeah, at one time they're going to break. And, they've got so many cameras. It's like the Super Bowl, only it's in a studio. And they've got so many cameras, they're going to break. And you see him turning around, and I swear to God, it looked like he was ordering a sandwich.
It truly did.
It really, really did.
And I wanted to, when I did turn on NBC last night, I wanted to just smash Tim Russ it over the head with that goddamn little message, that little blackboard, that little wipe-off blackboard, which was made famous, I guess,
right,
4 years ago, 2 years ago, however long it was.
That little board was carried, I think, by Big Russ, just like the watch.
Yes, got that from his dad.
Tim carried it around, too.
Dad.
And now I give it to you, little man.
So listen, that's all I got to say about you. Your side won, Mike. Do you feel joyous today? Do you feel like going out and pulling a Nancy, pulling Lu Ying on Republicans?
No, I don't.
Doing
I think
a victory dance?
I think the whole problem was that when the other guys got into town, I guess it was 1994, you had that attitude of of punishment and all that. And I really, one of the things, and this is the only campaign rally that I went to, is when I was hearing Clinton talk about really seriously getting people together and working together, because it's obvious when you have one team in control that things get a little out of whack. And I do really, really hope that things will move in the direction. Hey, and it's on the Democrats right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it is on the Democrats to come up with something and move forward and see where we go. I was happy because I love the game. I said that. I really look at it like it's almost like a sporting event, and then after the sporting event is over, I'm like, okay, let's see if something really can happen. If it does, I will be surprised, but I will be pleasantly surprised, and I can only hope that it will. But last night watching it, it was just like a sporting event. It was really, I feel like I'm watching a Red Sox game.
It's fun.
I really, really do. It's that.
The Red Sox always lose.
Well, the Red Sox won last night.
Well, America's won at least a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun.
I mean, I'm talking about the World Series.
Right.
Because last night was not really the World Series of elections.
The presidential election would be the World Series
of elections.
That would be like an NLCS. That would be an ALCS. A really good ALCS that got a lot of hype, like a very highly rated ALCS,
and one that went like seven games. Right?
Yeah, it went down to the wire, and everybody was watching. I don't even know. Well, you see, the ALCS, as far as Yankees Red Sox, to me, was better than the World Series.
However, I think you are in agreement with me that there was one moment we could all look at to say this was a great moment for America, and it comes from our favorite city. In the whole wide world.
Absolutely.
Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
God damn, and this has gone largely under the radar today because of everything else.
They really aren't making that big a deal of it.
In a landslide, and I mean...
landslide. Yeah,
and I mean, he had like almost 70% of the vote.
Did, yeah.
Here's the thing. I was glad.
They reelected Arnold.
California. I love sequels.
He's bad.
I love doing sequels. I love doing sequels.
Jesus.
Diva! Diva! Diva!
Diva! I tell you. But this, without any doubt, is my favorite sequel. I have to tell you that. What a great night and what a great victory. What a great victory for the people of California. Let me just start saying thank you to the people of California, because tonight they once again put their faith and confidence in me. And I promise you, in the next 4 years, I will protect your values and I will protect your dreams.
Jesus.
Governor, sir, learn how to say protect.
Yeah. Oh,
it's protect.
It doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter. They love it.
Nice.
They voted for him.
They love him. He's going to be the governor again.
And I think that's great.
That to me is the funniest part. Last night it was lost in all the coverage that I was watching, I guess the way that a casual baseball fan, if we're going to use
right.
the analogy as baseball,
sure.
I would watch and be like, I'd turn something else on.
Right.
And then I saw one moment they had breaking news, California, and there he is. He's got old Skeletor lantern jaw by him.
yeah.
Maria.
She's looking better and better.
And he is just beaming. And
you know, just think how out of control he is now.
In real life?
Think really how out of control. This is not sour grapes. It really isn't. But I gotta think that right now, you know, he's kind of getting back to where he was. You know, where he's on the set.
Kind of a swinging dick.
You know, where he's on the set of a Jingle All the Way. You know, and he thinks he's the big guy.
I'm sure.
Don't you think? Really? I mean, that is an amazing.
You know,
isn't it one of the largest gubernatorial victories in of last night, or maybe the most the largest margin of last night in a governorship?
You know why the movie is funny? Because I'm in the scene.
There you go.
You know, I'm the governor.
How about that? You see, that's
the smartest.
They woke me off, Maria. They woke me up. Now you go back to the house. I'm going to stay at the Capitol and party.
And he can only win twice. So that means now,
Senator Arnold Schwarzenegger. And you know what?
Yeah.
I believe it'll happen.
Yeah.
I believe it'll happen. And then many moons, maybe just a few years down the road.
Oh, Christ.
Arnold for president.
You have a son that is dying for playing with his father. He's dying to have the latest of the toys. And he's talking about this Turbo Man doll. And I play one of those fathers and husband that is too busy. What they can expect from Jingle All the Way is a hilarious movie, a movie where they will be able to laugh from the beginning to the end. It will be great entertainment. They will walk out of the theater and say, I am so angry that I can't get another ticket right away because I want to see it a second time. And there's a long line here.
Right. Just like Borat.
God.
Jingle All the Way was just like Borat. People waiting to see it twice.
You know, and that does fall into the comedy category as far as I'm glad he won. I having him around, having him in the public eye, I think that is a good thing. And once again, they ran kind of a wimpy guy against him, right?
Yes, they did.
Phil Angelides, just not a real strong candidate. The
guy was like an ad for a pocket protector.
He was a little mousy guy.
Like a nerdy computer teacher or something.
You know, somebody said it on one of the shows I was watching last night. When are the Democrats in California going to learn? You got to run a movie star against
him.
You really have to run a movie star against
him. Hey, I made it past Beatty. They didn't run one Beatty on me, huh?
I think you got to run your man. I think you got to run your man.
Clooney?
You bet your ass.
Clooney?
Clooney? Again, well, of course, you know what? I think Clooney gets to skip the governorship. I think you move.
Oh, yeah.
If Arnold runs for Senate, I think you gotta move Clooney right up right now.
But
get him a little 2-year congressional term and then bam.
Right, the problem with Clooney though.
What?
Yeah, he's trouser snake.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's gonna have to at least have the facade
of safeness
of having.
But Arnold's got that kind of rap of groping women.
No, but Arnold's got a wife.
Yeah.
What I mean is, you don't want people. I don't think would vote George Clooney because they think he'd be out looking for poontang all the time.
Maybe he'll settle down by that time. Probably not, though. It's not his M.O.
If you were George Clooney, would you think about anything except getting laid all the time?
Well, I think about a lot of things because I mean, Clooney gets laid if he blinks at somebody.
That's what I mean. Why
he doesn't have to think about it?
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean. It would just be all encompassing all the time. He could not govern. Because he would get up and say, gee, I need a cup of coffee. I'm going to go to Starbucks. And he'd say, I'd like a mocha. And she'd say, God, I'd love to eat your D.
You're probably right. He'd be distracted.
He goes to buy the newspaper.
So who's next? Too good looking, you're saying. Too much of a stud.
Yeah. Who's next?
It's got to be California. Somebody lives out there. They all live out there.
Well, how about Leah?
Leah Remini.
Leah Remini.
We can't have a woman president.
Leah Remini. We have a woman speaker of the House.
Yeah, but that's not the president.
She's two steps away.
She's two steps away.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but I mean, think of what would have to happen. It's never going to happen.
You know, anytime Anytime you're making one of your really unreasonable statements, you always preface it by saying, well, yeah.
It's fine.
Well, that's why you kill them all.
Let me know when I get to an unreasonable statement.
Well, yeah, that's why.
But it is possible. I mean, if she's third in line, it's like a third-string quarterback. Mm-hmm. It hardly ever happens.
Well, at least she looks like she can make it up a flight of stairs, unlike the other guy.
Astrid? You know?
Yeah. Denny.
Did you see him on House last night?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Demi Hastri.
Big fat guy. There's Rob was alluding last night. There was a guy on House. Who was... now, Rob, was he as fat as the guy in Borat?
Yeah.
Was it makeup fat or real fat?
He was fatter as he appeared in Borat, and I was staring at it in high def, and I think he was that fat.
600 pounds.
And there was a magnificent chin that became a collar.
Yes.
And he took a wonderful fall. I won't ruin it for you.
Oh, no.
Please don't. Wish I had T-Bone. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
It was very nice.
Hello. Very nice.
Donna Mike.
Yeah, howdy.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
This is Lynn Swan. How the hell come I didn't win?
That's the Lynn Swan impression. That's
Lynn, are you upset that you didn't win?
He hung up.
Oh, rats.
Too bad he was a hit and run.
That's the Lynn Swan stutter.
Hit and run, pretty good. Uh-oh. Donna Mike.
Oh, I didn't win.
Hello, Donna Mike. Hi there.
Yeah, hi. Listen, not that anybody really cares, but the reason why Alan doesn't want to give it up is because they didn't count the absentee ballots yet. That's... They mail those in, but they don't count them until after the election.
It's not necessarily true. They've counted a lot of absentee ballots.
Hold on.
I hope the dummy loses. I'm not rooting for
him. Hold on. I don't have a horse in this race. Here's what I'm saying. Whoever's saying that, you're a loser if you're saying that. Count the votes that came in by the time the polls closed. If there are other absentee ballots, screw it. If they can't get them in on time, they don't count.
They love me.
Throw them away.
The other ballots are in on time, but who cares? Have you guys seen Cookie Roberts?
Hey, I'm Lynn Swan. How come I didn't win? I'm going to be laughing at that all day.
Hello, Donna and Mike Show.
Yeah, Donna and Mike?
Yes, we are. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
How about Clint Eastwood? He's run.
Too old. He was already decrepit, a million-dollar baby.
Too old. You'd have to get him around the time he was doing that Secret Service movie, maybe.
Yep. Presidential mitts.
He loves taking his shirt off all the time.
Yeah.
He's not like Arnold. I mean, what's that movie he does with Meryl Streep where he takes his shirt off and then like takes
Bridges
of
Madison
take a bath
Bridges
together.
Of Madison County. Look at my mitts.
Hello, Donna.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that Rob was saying that the chance of... that woman becoming Speaker of the House, Ford got there that way. Gerald Ford?
Yes, but Gerald Ford was a man. Now go away.
Wait, Gerald Ford didn't get there that way.
He was appointed as vice president.
He was appointed by
after
Nixon.
Agnew resigned, right?
Yeah. So there is this guy gone again?
Yeah, he's gone. I'm sorry, Mike. Hello, Donna, my show.
Hi, this is Nancy Pelosi.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, what's happening, baby?
Hey, not too much, guys. I'm a big listener, big fan over here in California.
Oh, good.
Nice hearing from you, Nancy.
How you doing? Congratulations, incidentally.
Well, thank you. I know I sound a little different on the radio.
No. Tough night last night. Obviously, your voice may be a little raspy after all the campaign rallies.
Well, I partied with Arnold, actually.
Arnold.
You're partled with Arnie?
I ended up over at Arnold's house.
You're very close to cricket land.
Well, it's true. Would you guys like to come out and party with me, Don?
Welcome to C-Town.
Needed a punchline there.
Yeah. This guy's still on the phone.
You know, that's usually best for a hit and run, you know. Hi, this is Nancy Pelosi. Just want to say I love the show. Got to run.
You had us at Hi, this is Nancy Pelosi.
That was it. You got the laugh.
Hello there, Donna Mike Show.
How about the Hall of Famer Heath Shuler being elected?
Yeah, he got elected. I forgot what state was he in?
Tennessee or something like that?
Not one of our real states.
Well, one of our throwaway states.
Right.
Hey, hear about the Kings? Did you know if they lost that measure? They were supposed to move to Vegas if they lost the measure, the Maloops. They're supposed to move the Kings to Vegas. You hear about that?
No, they're moving to Bowie, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
The Sacramento Kings are moving to Bowie, Maryland.
Back to Bowie, Maryland, where they were founded.
great.
Will there, will there be a Bowie, Maryland dance?
Did they win the initiative or lose it?
Well, I don't know. I've been in bed. I haven't got the paper yet.
Good for you.
Yeah, it'll be in the paper.
You know who could beat Arnold? Oh. William Peterson. Properly packaged.
From CSI?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not a political guy. He doesn't even like
played Kennedy
interviews.
Twice.
Here's the thing. He doesn't have enough charisma in real life.
Right.
Right. He's got that. You've
seen
him.
You need to package him mysteriously.
But you've seen him interviewed where he's got that whole low-key thing.
Serious.
That right. might be what America wants. What America craves. Better than President Guilfoyle.
Paul Guilfoyle.
That I like.
Hello.
President Brass.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Big head.
Hello. Donaldo E. Miguel.
It's you.
Waiting for you.
Yeah, holy cow, Rob was so wrong about that actor on House last night.
Okay, why?
Do you think it was makeup?
Yeah, well, I know it was makeup because it was that one guy with the creepy eyes from Identity, that movie with John Cusack. And then he was on a few other movies. I can't remember specifically what they were, but that guy, he's just an actor, you know. He probably weighs 250 pounds.
All right, dude, thank you. I love anyone who says Rob is wrong, but your phone is breaking up.
And excellent makeup.
And besides, there's 8,000 people now saying the same thing. Hello, Al.
Close, it's Hal. But I'm 10 seconds late. The other guy beat me.
No, hold on. Al, or as I guess your name is Hal, but Joe just put Al up on the screen. You're one of many people. I just wanted Rob to hear it from more than one person. Maybe you have a better phone connection than the last
one. I'm on a landline. Rob, you're wrong.
Okay.
It's the dude from the dude who is the real main character in Identity.
And I agree with that fact, but just the way you said it makes you wrong too.
I'm wrong all the time.
Ongoing wrongness in your life.
Well then,
I want to point out that I'm all real though. It's
Hello.
Not makeup on me.
It's not in my show.
My chins are real.
I can tell by the hair.
Thank you.
Hello.
Looks like makeup.
Dynamite.
Right.
Hey, I've got the perfect candidate to run against Arnold.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
William Devane.
People love him.
Are you insane? Arnold, you're going down. I've come from the bottom of the river. Okay, what do you think of that, Nazi?
That's why he couldn't run, because they say, Mr. Devane, you have a Chappaquiddick incident. Well, what about when you were in that car on 24?
I went underwater, survived with my own gills, Arnold. And when you think you've been a good governor, you'll be a crap senator. Not like me, William Devane.
How's Jack Bauer?
Jack Bauer, you can't do it, Jack. You don't understand. That's classified.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Take your time.
Hi.
Hey, boys.
Hi there.
How are you?
You're fine. How are you?
I want to vote for Samuel L. Jackson. This is Corey from Vegas. Myself, Doug Christie, and Gladys Kravitz are Arco Aroma right now. Waiting for you guys.
You mean Did you say Arco Arena?
He said Arco Aroma.
Arco Aroma. If Gladys is there, it's Arco Aroma.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
I'd vote for Sam Jackson for governor.
Mm-hmm.
You bet your ass.
Oh, don't shake your head at me, Rob. I know.
I'll explain to you later.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Future Redskins Hall of Fame quarterback, Heath Shuler. One in North Carolina.
Oh, it was North Carolina was the state.
Thank you. And North Carolina, incidentally, not one of our disposable states. I mentioned that Tennessee was one of our disposable states.
Right, yes.
In my ongoing plan, as I mentioned earlier, the annexing perhaps of Cuba.
Right. Oh, you'll be replacing one of our states.
Oh, yeah, we got to have an even number.
Yeah, excellent. I agree.
We got
excellent notion.
It's like, isn't that the problem with all sports, that they diluted by having too many teams?
Yeah, where they should just chuck one out and replace it.
And aren't we already, the science in America doesn't already say full? Don't we have 300 million already?
Yeah, we're all set. We just passed 300 million.
If we're going to add, for instance, America's new adult playland, Cuba.
Oh, now I'm listening. You're going to add and subtract.
If we're going to take Canada, what we're going to have to do is get rid of some of our less than desirable states.
Will you be giving away the states in clumps, or will you just be maybe cutting them up a little bit and leaving the good parts? Like, for example,
okay.
For the country music fans, you might want to leave...
Give me a good part of Arkansas.
Well, I thought we were talking about Tennessee. I was going to say you'd have to leave Nashville and Memphis.
But Arkansas is another one of my states that would be...
I think you can get rid of Arkansas.
Bubble.
Yeah. But also, didn't you once move that we just combined the Carolinas?
Make it one state.
Yeah, now you could do
that. How about Oklahoma?
But that's like putting two franchises together to make one franchise. Oklahoma.
Yeah, but what a franchise. So what?
Oklahoma's a keeper, Mike.
Is that because we went to Oral Roberts University?
No, it's just because...
It's okay.
Because of the musical.
Oh, you're right.
How about Louisiana?
Oh, you got to keep New Orleans.
No, no, you got to keep
Rouge Crawfish.
You got to keep that because it's...
What are you thinking? Use your head.
I'm just, boy, I'm spitballing here.
Come on, boy. I've already mentioned,
you know, okay, and maybe you could combine...
Alabama?
You could combine the Dakotas, maybe...
But then it's way too big up there.
You know, and listen...
Alabama's got casinos now.
Yeah, a lot of places.
We got them closer than that.
So will our brand new Cuba, Mike.
Yeah, well, Cuba's going to have a better, better beaches.
And as a matter of fact, when we... Now, we're going to have to figure out what to do with the big splotches of land, because we're going to leave Canada where it is.
Right.
So is Canada is one state?
Yeah, one big, gigantic state.
See, makes the Dakota look smaller. Now, you guys are talking about this like you're joking, but I'm thinking about it seriously. Obviously,
so am I.
When you give away the states, it's not like you can dig them up. They're going to have to stay where they are. How are we going to... You're going to give them to other countries? How's that going to work disposable?
Here's exactly how it's going to work. What we are going to do is take gigantic bulldozers and land movers.
Mm-hmm.
We will physically, like, say, for instance, the state of Alabama.
Dig it up?
Okay. We will dig it up. Every house dug up. Every person dug up.
Like
every
sod.
Structure. Yeah, right. Just like the movie. So, well, maybe not that harsh, Buzz.
No, I mean like sod. Like, are you going to move the people to the new place?
If they can make it. You know,
if they survive the trip.
Yes. Challenge. For instance.
How deep will the hole that remains be?
Deep enough for us to plant
new sod,
new better people. What we'll do is
now you've lost me.
What we're going to do, Mike,
and I'm right on board.
We're going
plant
to do is,
new better people.
What we're going to do is
grow them. That's when the aliens come down.
I'm going to imagine this like little house on the prairie time. That what we're going to do is like, how big is Alabama? For God's sake,
a couple of miles,
square mile,
a couple of miles in both directions.
It's about the same as Virginia.
State size.
So it's pretty big.
No, I think it's no bigger than our parking lot here.
You know, you say to half the people in Maine.
What?
And guess what? You've had a nice run with your maple syrup and your beautiful skies and your clear air and your good living. Guess what? You got to make Maine happen now down in Alabama.
Oh, great idea!
So Maine gets more space.
Oh, you mean you move the Maine people down to Alabama?
Yes, and then what you do?
What do you do with the Alabama people?
Again, Mike, they become disenfranchised.
They're on their own.
What they must
do... They wander the rest of the land?
Good luck to them.
Populating the other states that aren't disposable?
The people from Alabama must present themselves, for instance, to... What would be an existing state? Well, for instance, Texas, one of our biggest states.
Yeah.
You'd have to go to... It's almost like a co-op board in New York. Mm-hmm. You would have to go to the co-op board of Texas, present yourself and say, hello, I'm from... The state formerly known as Alabama.
Maybe you could do it like Full Metal Jacket when they're about to be sent off to Vietnam. You just have all the people line up in the disposable state, and you mention their names, and you're like, you're going to Alabama, you're going to Delaware, you're going to New York, and we send them around to the other states.
Yeah, except there's a reason that we're getting rid of these states.
It's the people.
It's not the structures, it's the people.
Oh, so you want to set them up to fail then?
No, they won't because they're strong Maine people.
We just want them to leave. We're not talking about Maine. We're talking about, like, Alabama.
But we're
Maine
putting is not
Maine
people
be,
in Alabama.
Maine is not going to be, as much as I know you'd love it to happen, Maine is not going to be one of the states that's dug up, not on
my
watch.
Hold on. No, we're using Maine for seed.
You know what we get?
You're planting the Maine people?
Yes. Who cares about the people in Alabama?
Okay.
What you do is you take some of the people from Maine and you say, now, we are giving you an entire state.
Bigger.
Build us another Maine. Even though you are not near water as much as Maine is.
No lobsters.
Even though the temperature is, and everything about it is entirely
it'll be
different.
Sweltering for most of the year.
And I know you're going to have a problem at first with the accent.
Uh-huh.
What I want is a piece of Maine right there. Almost like, you know how the Truman Show, that little area that he lived?
Right.
Was like
the little perfect community where it was always on TV.
Right. What you do is... You take out the Alabama that we have now, and you put in a Truman Show there.
Okay.
And all the people of Alabama, you say, this is America. Good luck. I mean, goddamn, people are sneaking in here every day.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find your way to another state, good luck.
And well, here's the liberal in me.
It's an accident.
This is the liberal in me once again. But, I mean, no thought of retraining the existing people there?
Have you been to Alabama?
I have.
Or Arkansas?
I have not.
Or any of the states on my list?
I've been to some of them.
Not trainable.
I've been to some of them. Untrainable.
And then there are some that are, frankly, just beautiful. But really, we are wasting land. And I'm not talking about our national treasures like our forests and
right.
and all
We're
of
not
our
giving that up.
No. But what I mean is like in Montana,
uh-huh.
for God's sake, there's lots of usable space there.
Yeah.
What you do is you take like a corner of Montana and you just, you make that the little ugly wart on the United States. If you
once again, it always gets back to camps with you, doesn't it?
So you're saying 50
leisure
states?
Leisure camps for the old people, and now for the people from the disposable states, it'll be the...
maybe a fence.
We'll send them out to the out west, they'd say.
Maybe, maybe like maybe in...
I don't think they'd be in the way out there.
Maybe not a camp as much as it is a colony.
How big a fence?
A settlement.
Much bigger than the fence that we're building right now in Mexico.
Yeah, it has to be.
Much bigger. And, I'm sorry, barbed wire.
And a top on it.
Barbed wire and broken wire. Maybe like the movie Biosphere.
How about we have great a top movie on it like the birds have, you know, in the zoo? You know, where they let the birds fly, but it's kind of like a net?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With sensors on it. I think we got a plan.
And electrodes.
Alabama, the first one to go?
I'm afraid so.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head, I'd have to say, yeah.
And you were worried about Tennessee. You can leave Memphis and Nashville.
Well,
there.
No, you know what, Rob? There are more states, many more states on the disposable list in front of
us. Ahead of Tennessee?
Yeah, Arkansas.
And we shouldn't just look to the south.
Yes,
although,
that's not fair.
Although that seems to be where,
it's a good place to start.
Where most of the disposing will be
but
done.
But you know, there's a lot of crackpots up in Washington State.
Oh, now see, you've got Seattle.
Now the
you're going to make a lot of people angry. And
but there's
beautiful
a lot of crackpots
no,
up there.
No, no, no.
Yes, there are.
Well, you know what that is? That is fertile ground for...
For planting?
For...
he said optimistically.
That's fertile ground for possible transfers from... God, I'm trying to like even... Oh, okay. Kansas. There's a heartland state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying if it's coming down to Oklahoma or Kansas...
Yeah, you want to get some of those salt of the earth people out there in you know, on the left coast.
I'd be glad to see Hill.
So you plant some of the Kansas people out in the disenfranchised state of Washington.
Uh-huh.
Will Father Elston go for that?
I think he'd be fine with it.
It'd be good. Come out by the space needle.
Then if you need another colony, you got your North and South Dakota.
Yeah, and worst case scenario, as Rob has already indicated, you combine them. You combine the two franchises. You just make it Dakota, and you just make it Carolina.
And I think the whole premise of this, we're not talking about the actual geography or the area of the state.
Also,
we're talking about the people that have screwed it up.
And we must immediately do away with West Virginia. It must be simply Virginia.
One big state.
And incidentally, I live in the state of Virginia. I want to tell you something. It's on the bubble.
Yeah, I know.
Okay?
I know.
Virginia, for me,
I know,
is a bubble state that could be annexed immediately. Virginia is simply by the luck of where it is on the map,
right,
and the people that live in this area.
Now, what are we going to do about the people of West Virginia? Won't they just drag us down if it becomes one big Virginia?
Buzz, we send the people of West Virginia. Okay.
Where? Send them right over the line to Ohio.
Now we are going to get to...
What Ohio do?
The bottom, the absolute bottom rock.
Nothing, and it's just a colony.
Right.
How about if we provide cheap one-way airfare to, like, Iceland?
No, too nice, Rob. What we do with the people that we simply cannot tolerate.
Can't abide.
The ones that just don't make the muster.
Right. That make the muster and the ones that we don't have room in the colonies for.
If we're too full,
colonies.
What we do is we just get the tunnel going to Mexico the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
And we say to them, congratulations.
But that's a state now.
No, it's not. Mexico's not a state.
I thought you were going to make it.
Cuba's going to be a state.
No. Cuba's going to be annexed.
Ah.
Canada will become a state.
Canada becomes a state.
But
Cuba becomes the adult playground.
Yes, right. And we really only have to lose one state so that Canada can become a state, and the state that we lose most likely when I am king will be Alabama.
I hope John's writing this all down, because it's a little complicated.
You really could go from 50 to 48. States.
No, Rob.
The flag looked great at 48.
You want to do is you're confusing it again because you want to do
I'm
is you want to make it. You want to make it just like the olden days.
Nickel
That's what you want.
Balls.
You want to go back to the days of, you know, farming.
All I want is America to be the best that it can be.
Yes.
Is that
retroactively?
Wrong? Is that wrong?
I'd say that this would be after day coverage that you will find nowhere else.
That's right.
I think we've summed up the election pretty well.
Nicely done.
8,000 people on the telephone. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I was thinking Susan Sarandon and that ass Tim Robbins.
Now, why are you calling Tim Robbins an ass?
Against what? Against Arnold? Are you calling from California?
No. I'm calling from Virginia.
Oh, but are you talking about to run against Arnold?
Yeah.
Well, which one, Susan Sarandon or Tim Robbins?
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins? I know. I don't think so. Not enough star power, right?
No.
No.
He's just not thick enough.
A little squirrely. And plus, he was a little too convincing, that movie Bob Roberts.
What a great movie.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
How about David Caruso against Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger?
David Caruso. All this campaign ads would be photographed at that angle.
Right. David Caruso. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Gentlemen.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I think Clint Eastwood could run. We could pair him with Mitt Romney, and their slogan could be, "We want Mitt and Mitt."
Off to Dakota with you, sir. You know, I was thinking about David Caruso again and how David Caruso really has those lines. He always has the same kind of lines on CSI Miami, where they'd say, "Did you hear that Arnold Schwarzenegger is running for Senate? And then David Caruso would say, "And I think I know someone that's running against him." And then he walks away.
And then he walks away.
That's it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don, Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Hey, hi.
Hey, just want to let you guys know, us Sacramentans and Californians, we love the Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we cannot stand the rich bastard Maloof. That's why we told them, no, we are not giving them a downtown arena.
Now, Rob, you nailed this. They got their wish. They're not going to have the basketball.
Now, here. Hold on a second. Are you calling from Sacramento?
Yes, I live in Sacramento.
All right, well, then,
so the stadium initiative went down?
Yeah, stadium thing went down, and now the Maloofs are back to square one, and...
Well, then you might as well kiss that basketball ass goodbye. They will go to Vegas, as if David Stern will allow a team in Las Vegas.
Right.
Because don't they own that? What's the casino they own in Las Vegas?
Tom's Casino.
That's it.
Thank you. Mike, I didn't need to call you a boy.
That's what they always do anyway.
Yeah.
They do everything from Vegas.
Yeah. You know,
just opened one of the... they also recently opened one of the Playboy clubs. They've restarted the Playboy Club. Yeah. It's actually going to be in the Palms Casino in the second tower.
But do you remember also the Palm commercial with him doing the
incidentally, whenever you have a question about casinos, Don, please don't go to the boy. Go to a man who actually sat in Ghost Bar. I had a wonderful time. Paris wasn't there, but I had a marvelous time. A bottle of Grey Goose. Couldn't see anyone because it was too dark.
Sorry, I forgot that I was looking at my favorite degenerate gambler.
Ghost Bar is a toss-up of between a Tao, Ghost Bar, and Rum Jungle. Vegas, just lovely. Just a lovely time.
Well, I'm amazed because the people of Sacramento love that basketball team.
That's
the only thing they got going there. And boy,
but it's the attitude. Rob's absolutely right. It's the attitude of,
I kind of agree with them. I mean, if they do fill the stadium and they do all the time for every goddamn game with their cowbells, you know, if the guy doesn't, you know, that guy makes enough money off them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I see both sides.
Do you think they'll be gone? You think the Kings will be gone now?
Oh, sure. That guy, as a matter of fact, there's all kinds of stuff. Some guy bought the Seattle Supersonics and he's going to move them to Oklahoma City.
Wow.
Of all places.
Wow.
The New Orleans basketball team was moved to Oklahoma City last year, and they drew like 20,000 people a game. Because, like in Sacramento, what else? It's the only pro team in town.
What are you going to replace the Kings with after Sacramento loses the Kings?
Just more listeners for us, Mike.
Yay!
There's more reason that we're the only thing in Sacramento, California.
We won't get preempted anymore. Didn't they preempt us sometimes with some of the coverage?
Right? And if they lose, does that mean they lose the Lesbo team too? Because that's very embarrassing to be preempted for lesbian basketball.
Right.
Lesbian daytime basketball.
The Sacramento Tomatoes. WNBA.
Well, they won't move right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll play this year there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the problem is that all major sports have with having teams in Las Vegas, because all sports leagues know that Americans bet on sports, not only in Las Vegas, but everywhere. And it's ridiculous because they know about it and they know that it helps their game and they know that if you've got a dog game on, that there are people who have bet on the game. And the only reason they're going to watch and give you ratings is to find out if teams cover the spreads.
Do you think they're worried about the players and the proximity to the gambling institutions?
Yeah, but if you play in Los Angeles, you get in your car and you can be in Vegas in 30 minutes if you take a plane.
Do you think David Stern will allow a team in Vegas?
I think so. You know why?
Why?
There's untapped riches there.
Good for him.
I would put a baseball team and a basketball team in Las Vegas.
I think that would be wonderful. However, if you're going to put a baseball team there, you might as well have a dome stadium because the heat can be quite unbearable during the summer months.
Someone like Mike Wynn to build you a nice stadium.
Yes, Mike Wynn or Steve Wynn?
Who did I say?
You said Mike Wynn.
Who's that?
I have no idea.
Then I must have met Steve Wynn.
I was so disappointed when Steve, due to his eyesight going, put the hand through his Picasso painting.
Okay. That's right, I read about
no
that.
No peripheral vision.
$165 million to worth nothing in the stroke of a hand.
Bad for him.
Oh, bad for him.
That's an expensive handy.
Very, very bad
for him. A very expensive handy.
Yes, he shouldn't have gone anywhere near it. He could fix it if anyone can. The man is a miracle worker.
You know, I might fix his hand. Like, how about that hand in Borat? Very nice.
I love that. With electrician thing.
And Rob, the fact that you're waving around that clock would indicate what, boy?
We should break.
Okay, thank you. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It felt like God and Jesus were like ripping my insides out of my body.
Yes,
and like
Nicole.
The devil was like yanking my insides from my legs.
She's
and
smart.
It was like in tug of war. If you can imagine that. And it was I could just my insides were being ripped out.
The Don and Mike Show.
I was watching that eating dinner.
All things equal, they prefer dog vomit. Right. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
That's right.
We do.
Oh, yes.
So, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Michael. Was there anything else on the erection that you wanted to cover?
You know, no, really. I mean, it was just the one thing I wanted to say seriously was that I hope people aren't going to gloat and, make a big deal. I did gloat to one guy here at the radio station, but that's a little personal thing. But I really hope I hope things work, and I enjoyed watching Fat Bill Bennett. Bill Bennett was the
was
Mr. Jowls, and Tim Russert was Mr. Jowls. And I really, really think that... That Comedy Central is maybe what I would watch the next election a little more frequently with. Sure. I would, because they really, they give you the information, but at the same time, it really is great. It's great the way they do that. Because, you think of this, it's so serious with all the music. And I agree with you about Tom Brokaw having spots. He does indeed have spots.
And what about you, Buzz? You have carried the anti-Bush flag higher than anybody for the last couple of years. How do you feel? I mean, you don't like sports. You're a fag like that.
I don't know if things will change.
Is it like a sporting event to you?
It is for me, yeah. To me, it is a spectator sport, and I enjoy it immensely.
I do love it. I do love it, and I logged a lot of hours with it last
night. I don't know that things will change, but today, even though it's cloudy and rainy here, for some reason, colors are brighter, food tastes better.
Now, are you going to go crazy in the last hour of the show?
No. Are you going to have a very good and very unique wrap-up of the whole mess.
You want to tell everybody your headline?
Yeah. I write a list of headlines every day. It doesn't necessarily reflect.
No.
It doesn't.
Wait, just read your headline.
All right. First headline. America to Bush, you suck. That's what I took from it.
Way to be subtle, Buzz. No need to continue. Way not to gloat. Oh, you know what? You're not going to like
really
about
not.
Last night that I, a guy that I really enjoyed?
What? You, Buzz?
Chris Matthews. I know you hate
why.
That guy. I enjoyed him.
What do you
I thought because he was on everybody.
He's goddamn sexy. That's
he's
why.
A sexy man with his sexy pseudo blonde hair, and James Carville, who's lost more weight, who was fun to watch. And really, for a guy that's that skinny, James Carville, if you're coming, if you are going to be that thin and really look like an alien. Get the shirt that doesn't, have a quarter of an inch around the neck so it's hanging off your neck. Get a shirt that, maybe they can't make them with that skinny a neck. You certainly wouldn't be able to change places with Bill Bennett. Oh, sandwich here.
I just want to make sure that you guys, I know you guys were much more into this than I was, And I monopolized a lot of the conversation with my brilliant scheme to get rid of some states. Was there anything else?
What I feel today is the only one that I was really into, where I had the yard signs and I had the bumper sticker. It ain't over yet.
Right.
So I'd like it to be over. I'd like to get some closure on that. And I can't believe that of all the Senate races in the United States, the one that I cared about is in my backyard. Went right down to the absolute wire. Just amazes me. It really, really does.
Yeah, State Times in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Well then,
we will take our time. And listen, while we are counting the ballots, perhaps we could enjoy a nice mint julep during the process. I think that would be wonderful.
Then perhaps we should talk pornography.
Oh, yes.
Please do.
I might have a question about that for you. I don't know what you've got planned, and I don't know what you want to talk about.
First DirecTV, and then ordering, my experience ordering pornography, not online, but I think I told you about this.
Yeah, but my question would be, I'm wondering if we're having a similar situation. Did you have to call them?
Oh, no. My situation is not about not being able to get porno on DirecTV. No.
All right. I checked my phone line today. Everything's working, but
have you ordered a lot recently?
No, I have not.
Did you check your bill online? No,
I didn't check my bill online.
You know, because
do they shut you down if you order too much of it?
Yeah, and you don't pay.
But I don't order that much of it. I mean, not in my opinion, not an illegal amount.
Yeah,
just enough to get me by.
Right, here's the conversation.
Buzz's fault. He brought that crap in yesterday.
I think I mentioned this last week. No, actually, 2 weeks ago it came up on the show, and I mentioned I called DirecTV. Buzz, when we were on the air, said, hey,
like the $7,000 porn package.
Yes. Did you hear about... Right. Now, this, I want to tell you about the conversation I had with DirecTV.
All right.
Talk about customer relations. This is a true story because I am a true DirecTV customer. Have been ever since they put out the Sunday ticket.
The beginning.
You know, I bought it when the dish clock...
Why are you applauding?
You know, I bought it when the dish was like $800, I remember getting it and looking at it and going, it's $800 for a piece of plastic? You know, now they give them away.
Right.
You know, but back then it was expensive.
Right. And it was replacing the huge dish that I had years and years
right.
and years ago,
oh, yeah.
where you got 24-hour porn.
So, Buzz says, or some guy calls the show and says, did you hear about this titanium package that DirecTV offers? Buzz went on the website, looked about it, we talked about it,
right.
and... It's $7,500 a year, and they say you get concierge service
right.
if anything breaks,
24/7.
And you get every single channel. Now, I am a TV connoisseur. I like TV, just about any kind of TV. I watch it all the time, and I have DirecTV. I would not spend $7,000 a year for programming from just about anybody.
You wouldn't think about it.
But I was intrigued by it.
You were intrigued by it.
Yeah. And I was not intrigued.
Because you didn't know what the real deal was.
I was not intrigued because, and really, I can't afford to spend seven. Who can't afford, unless you're Bill
right.
Gates, really.
Right. No, it's absurd throwing your money
You out. Might as well just open up the window and throw your money outside.
Right.
I'm blessed enough to have saved a few dollars. I would not do that.
Smarter than that.
I would not do that. But I'm intrigued by this.
Sure.
So I called up because I had my own theory as we discussed on the air. And what I wanted to do was find out really who would be dumb enough to do this and what do you get for it, really. So I called DirecTV, being as I'm one of these people that they've already sent me, like 6 months ago, this thing that said, congratulations for being one of our super-duper first-ever members and buying everything we have. Here's your new super-secret number you can call when if there's ever a failure or anything. So I call this number up, right? And they pick up right away and they go, yes, hello, can I help you? Because you don't get that, press one and then sit through the menu.
Get right in.
Get a real person. I call and I say, hi, it's me. They ask for the phone number, blah, blah, blah. I get the guy, I said, I'm interested in titanium. Hold, please.
Oh, hold.
They must do this. They must put me on, they must go, we got a sucker on line four!
Red alert, red alert.
So, right, I get, Eric is the guy's name.
Hello, Eric.
And he says, how may I serve you? And is it tell me about this package. It seems to be not worth it. And he said, I disagree. And we talked about all of the benefits. He said, you get all of the sports channels. You know, I said, well, I only like football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you get Major League Baseball and you get hockey. And you get every college football game that's offered.
I said, ugh.
Okay.
And every truck pull.
And you get every pay-per-view, right, including all of the wrestling pay-per-views.
Theatrical movies.
And all of the regular pay-per-views that are on all the time.
It's like a blanket where you can just tune into the channel and watch them all day. They're all open.
I listened to his spiel, and I said, I've looked at my bill, and I'm already in whatever the special, I'm a loser, I buy every channel that you've got.
You've got a nice package. Yeah. You've got almost everything.
And I buy...
I didn't mean that. Do not isolate that.
And I buy the NFL ticket, and I buy the NBA thing, because I like watching all the games. Right. And that's about it, and I buy some porno. So finally, I'm backing the guy into a corner, because what he's trying to do is close in for the sale. He keeps saying stuff like, oh, I see... I said, go ahead, pull up my record. See how much stuff that I order and tell me why this is a good deal for me.
That's a good question.
So he pulled up my records and he said, well, let's see, in the last month you've ordered three pay-per-view movies. And he was talking about regular movies. And he said, and then, of course, you've got HBO, Cinemax. I see NFL Sunday Ticket. I see... NBA League Pass, and I see adult features. And I said,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know, adult features. I said, how much was that? He said, last month? Now, keep in mind, I've got the bill
in
front of
me. Do we
need
a drum roll for this?
I've got the bill in front of me.
Right.
Okay?
Can I ask before you say?
Yeah.
Was it an unusual month?
Average.
Okay.
Average month.
Better.
Average month. $60.
Not bad at all.
$60 a month. It was $60 last month for strictly for porno. Four times, actually like $64, because four times I went through and bought the thing where it's
the $15.95.
Right. Where do you get all the packs? All the channels,
right,
for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's kind of a ripoff.
So I said to him, okay, I'm doing the math in my head. And I said, even if I watch every pay-per-view and every single wrestling event and every single sports event, I could still buy all that and it wouldn't cost $7,500. I said, as a DirecTV subscriber, and this is how you get them, I said, who may go to Comcast, tell me why this is good for me. This is insulting that you want this much money. And he said, well, if you order the adult programming over a year-long time period, it's actually quite economical. And I said, I only average $60 a month on porno.
$720 a year.
But let's say that I even spent double that.
Right. $1,400 a year.
Yeah, that's what I said. Right. I'm doing the math.
Right.
And at that point...
Well, what's your Sunday ticket? Your NFL Sunday ticket. That's like $400,
$500.
No, it's... $180?
$200.
$200.
NBA League Pass.
So you added it up.
$200.
Didn't we all add it up on everything? Doesn't it come up to be like $2,000, maybe?
Yeah. And finally, what I got from the guy at DirecTV, and I told him I was going to say this on the radio, and he really didn't seem to care very much. The guy's name was Eric. He finally said, well, it really is a plan for people who enjoy movies. And I said, what? And he said, it really is a plan for people who enjoy
hardcore
adult films. And I said, why don't you just market it as such?
Rob, you're a mathematician. Do the math. If you got the package of $15.95, they come at 3 hour intervals.
Okay.
And you timed it right. So, like, it would, how much would you have to order to get to $7,000?
Well, 15 times 8, since there's 3 hours, what's 15 times 8? Because that would be one day, right?
120
a day.
Well, so
a week would be like $800 a week.
$7,500 divided by $15.95 would be, hold on,
Why does your mind work like that?
Because it works. He goes backwards.
Why does your mind work like that?
He always goes backwards.
Because I'm a merchant.
Anyway.
And you know that's true.
The point is, the guy at DirecTV finally said to me, it's just for porno.
You know what it is? It's for porno addicts.
Not meaning it's just for porno.
I mean, really, you'd be bored to tears. And they repeat that crap, don't they?
You would have to order 470 pornos a year, which is one and a third a day.
All right, so... So if you ordered porno from DirecTV...
More than once a day.
The three-hour package, more than once a day, it would be more economical for you to buy this stupid titanium plan? You saying you spend more than $7,000 if you buy porno every day from DirecTV?
You have to buy it more than once a day. On average, about 1.3 times a day.
What did you say the number was for that service?
Anyway, they won't tell you in the advertising.
Well, because their porno is a ripoff, and their porno is, from everything I've read about the industry, it is the biggest moneymaker on cable, on pay-per-view, in hotels.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is the biggest moneymaker because people will spend $19.95, you know, for something like that.
I'm not great at math, but the way I figure it, if you ordered the $15.95 package... 24 hours a day, 365 days a year would come to $43,800.
Like, Buzz, hold on. Buzz, who doesn't do backwards math.
No, that was a funny statistic.
That's the number I was looking for, though. Thank you, but repeat that again, please.
$43,800 if you go 24/7 with the $15.
Well,
package.
All right, now let's look at it this way.
Because
how they should market it.
Because your porno's on all the time.
Right. And
you don't have to order anything. You just pop in whatever you like.
What the guy said to me on the phone was, it's there for adult features. And I said, why don't you just say that? And he said, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then I said, okay, I don't want it. Goodbye.
But they're losing money.
They could still offer a sweeping and money-saving deal for the porno package that wouldn't be anywhere near $7,000.
Now, speaking of porno, there was also this issue, and I have to drag Buzz into this as well, that one of the videos Buzz gave me for either my birthday or Christmas has ads in it.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you put a DVD in and...
Right. They can be gross.
You don't even need to watch the movie. Sometimes the ads are so good, it's like by the time the ad is over, you're done, right?
I mean, right. I agree.
Okay, well...
I'm telling you, you don't need to preach this to me.
So, I see the one, it's a Handies Across America. I think I've mentioned that before. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, you saw an ad for this video.
Saw an ad for it. So wait until the end of the...
Is that movie really called HJ's Across America?
Yes, it is. And there's volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
7 is the best.
So I see the website. And I think this is what I'm going to do to order this, right? I'm going to order porno. So I go upstairs. I think I mentioned this, that immediately, as soon as I went on this site, it was like, boom, boom, boom. I don't care what firewall or Norton you've got. It was like, wow, do you like ass? Boom, right here. Hey, do you like Asian ass? Boom. Do you like little boy ass? Boom. It's like all these pop-up ads. I had to shut the computer down, wipe everything out.
Wow.
Pardon the pun. Then what I did was, because I'm still on a quest, there's a 1-800 number. I'm thinking, well, all right, I'll call and I'll order the film.
So hi, baby.
So I called them.
Hi, baby.
I only wish.
How are you?
Mike, I only wish, because imagine my horror when I call 1-800, I'm a pervert, or whatever the number is, and I get...
Oh.
Porno place.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a guy. I'm like, yeah, hi, I was trying to order online and got a slight problem. I kept getting bounced.
Did you have to say the title?
Yeah, like, yeah, okay, you're getting ahead of me. You'll pardon the pun. So I said to the guy, I had a problem on the site that I kept getting pop-up ads, and I finally just thought I would call.
What part of the site were you looking at?
And I said, well, I know the film that I want. And then it was that moment that he said, what is it? And I said,
oh no,
HJ Across America. And
I could never picture you doing this. I could never picture, you're the guy that doesn't want to go into a cocktail party.
You can be anonymous on the phone. I mean, I know.
Jeez, but that would. At any time, did you have the urge to hang the phone up?
Well, no, I'm going to tell you how this ended.
Okay.
I've been waiting to tell you this. So I hear the guy doing this and going. I hear the guy, he's obviously on a hands-free thing.
Tapping
I hear
the keyboard.
Him going like, H-J-H-J. And he's saying stuff like,
where's the honey, Junior?
He's saying,
that's a good one. You know, if you like that one, you might. There are some others that I could recommend.
I'm like, I'm still.
Oh, how creepy.
I'm still on the phone with the guy, and I'm not giving him. He doesn't know my name yet. He doesn't know credit card information, no anything.
Isn't it like you've entered the netherworld?
So he finally, he does this thing. He goes, It's like,
you're in luck. We had volume 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7 available.
And it was creepy, creepy.
But you've committed at this creepy. Point.
You're
and
in.
I think,
you're in.
I think, okay, I'm going to go ahead with it.
Or did you think in the terms of you wanted to get it all over with all at once, so perhaps you would have a larger order than normal?
You are reading my mind.
I would do the same thing if I was there. If it was uncomfortable and I'd passed that that threshold of discomfort, I would actually go ahead and order.
Here's exactly where I pussied out on this. He said, what would you like? And I said, what the hell? So one-time deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take them. Like 1995 each. I'll take them all.
Sky's the limit.
There was six of them. And I hear the guy say, to whoever's working in this little Kathy Lee sweatshop with him. But he turns around and goes,
I'm going to need volume 1, H.J. Across America, volume 3, H.J.
Oh, no, he gives the
Across America, volume 4, H.J. Across America.
And while this is going on, I'm just looking at the phone. And then it's, can you hold, please? I said, sure. I'm on hold. And there's actual regular hold music. When you're calling to hear porno, it's like...
Doesn't sound like porno music?
No, it's...
Thank you for calling H.J.'s Across America.
This is when I hang up. Because when the music ends, it's a different guy. And I can tell it's a different guy. Because he says... Hello, this is Jeff. May I help you? And I said, hi, I was just trying to order some films, and I was put on hold. And he said, what were you interested in?
Oh, no, not again. God, that's like buying hemorrhoid stuff. No offense, Rob.
And I said, oh, gosh, I don't know. How many of you guys are there? I was just on the phone. How many guys? And he said, there's four of us here.
Yeah.
And I said...
Then one of the guys, they should be able to... Like, you don't have to go through that embarrassing thing again.
So right. Anyway, I said, well, what I was looking for was H.J. Across America.
Again. With that.
And this guy was not a repeater like the other guy was, but he... again, he starts with... And I said, no. The other guy already did this.
Right.
You have volumes 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 in stock.
Mm-hmm.
I will take them all. And then this guy says, great, hold on a sec. Oh. And I think he's going to get my information. This guy then says, I got a guy on the phone that wants H.J. Across America 1. I'm imagining that this is in a room that's some type of warehouse.
Right. Yeah.
And it's so unsophisticated.
Right.
There's no ordering system.
No.
You call and you tell them you
it's
want...
It's in a warehouse in Canoga Park.
You call and tell you want the donkey sex show tape. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they turn and they say to the woman behind them or
the little woman,
you know,
the little old lady.
You know,
do we have the donkey sex show tape?
It's probably all indexed. It's probably all...
Please.
Now, are you ordering DVDs?
Yes.
Please let me help you.
Well, why wouldn't I?
You want to help him?
Well, yeah. What would I order, Mike?
I think you call
8mm.
No, like VHS. You know,
VHS.
No.
Oh, come on.
Used VHS, like I order. I keep sticking in the machine.
I know we got to break. The end of the story is that I pussied out and I hung up.
Let me give you the name of a safe website with no pop-ups and no spam and
no. No, thank you, Buzz.
All right.
No,
all right.
Thank you.
All right.
Or Buzz could make you a movie.
See, no pop-ups, no spam, comes right in the mail.
Yeah, I know, but you like stuff that I don't like.
Well, don't you think they have what you like?
With your guy?
Yes. Yours would be a little down and dirtier, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't yours than that?
No, I'll just order the title.
Isn't that more Buzz artistic?
But yeah, Buzz orders pornos that are actually...
However, with yours being down and dirty, the title of yours fascinates me as well.
Well, it's thousands of women just performing one act.
Right. I like that.
And yeah. It's like it's the camera that just goes around. That's all girls like doing. And it's all different girls
right.
with all different guys.
We can get you that.
Sold. Well... Good luck calling, because I really...
Well, I bet Buzz is right, though. You can probably get that on his website. It'll have the same title.
I really ended up being like someone like prank calling a grocery store or something. You know, is your refrigerator running okay? Well, you better... I don't want this. Goodbye.
I have a question. When it's delivered, how's it delivered?
A guy in a raincoat.
A guy in a raincoat. No, really.
A big singing
comes in a plain brown wrapper. Comes in the mail. Or FedEx or whatever. Does it come in a plain brown wrapper?
Well, it doesn't say porno on the outside of it. No, it says a very ordinary package.
Well, when you buy something like that, do you suddenly get mail coming through?
No, I have not. No spam, no pop-ups, no junk mail.
I tell you what.
Nothing I don't
want. I don't want to go to any more websites and have any more do you like Korean boys' asses ads popping up.
Well, everybody's different.
That flips me out. So I tell you what, just remember that for Christmas.
I will. Why don't you just have him be your dealer? Why don't you just have him...
Yeah, why don't you buy me some?
Why don't you just give him the money and give him like $5 on top
now that I know the title you're looking for and any other titles you may be interested in?
Or you have him buy all your stuff, take him out to a nice dinner, call it even.
After dinner, you can swap
the face. I'm doing that. I'm going over to see him right after this commercial break.
Buzz and I doing that thing, toasting, where we intertwine the arms together. Here's to you for finding the HJs across America.
Thank you so much. Think of Buzz as a tour guide.
That's right.
Let me be your guide.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you, Buzz. It was very embarrassing, and it was on the heels of my discussion with the guy about DirecTV,
right?
About what a ripoff that was. So I thought, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to buy the porno that I know that I like.
Right. How many titles would you have in your possession right now, Mr.
Oh, I have to go back and count them. And are you talking about just DVDs? Or are you talking
about... Let's just say just DVDs.
VHS and 8mm as well.
You don't have 8mm.
No, I don't.
DVDs. What would you say? What would you estimate your total number of titles?
Pornos.
I'm going to say 36.
Oh, okay. How many VHS?
That's going to be closer to 75.
Oh, whoa.
I can tell you how many I have.
Kind of a library.
I have four. I have four. They were all given to me by Buzz.
You know how many I have?
How many?
Zero. Zeb, goose egg. But I'm starting today. I'm going to work on that one.
You can change that.
How about you, Rob? That.
Probably like eight. Eight DVDs, I think.
That's a good number.
That's a surprise.
That is a good number. Yeah.
Well, remember, we used to have that relationship with the Kick-Ass company.
Everybody want a funny mental picture before we go to break?
Please don't. Please just break.
How about Rob? Uh-oh. Rob on his couch.
Oh, Jesus.
You're
there. Little ottoman under his hiney.
He didn't want to go see Borat at night. He wanted to see it on the day before work. He had to get home. He had an appointment.
Making himself comfy.
You know, with all that downtime. Seriously. And Rob, you're absolutely
nice.
Normal.
I guess so.
You're 100%
perhaps
normal.
More normal than anyone else. Let's break.
All right. Oh, so speaking of Borat, here we go. When we come back, who doesn't, if you've seen Borat, who doesn't remember the scene where he goes, the sequence where he goes to buy the car.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. Okay?
Yep.
The guy, car salesman, from the movie Borat, the real guy, will be on the show when we come right
now. Oh, wow.
Awesome! Yes, that's right. Oh, and also a very fast update on Borat. It's totally off base on the Pam Anderson thing. She was in on the gag.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. She would have to be.
Yeah. Well, I was naive, and I thought she was not.
No, seriously, he would have been killed.
They did a great job.
Don't you think he would have been killed?
You see, Pam Anderson looks caught off guard and highly distressed as a bag is thrown over her head, and she's chased and Borat, but she was in on the joke. Unlike other pranks in the movie with real people and Sacha Cohen, this was loosely scripted and carefully choreographed with jerky camera movements to make it look real.
Ah, good. I think that what they say about him is that you've got some stuff that is, you know, done like that, and other stuff that's just a pure goof. And it doesn't matter. It's funny. Right,
and they're kind of friends. They've done work together before. Sasha and Pamela Anderson.
She's from Canada.
She couldn't have fooled
you. Think he's done her?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So the Pam Anderson thing, that was a goof. but the guy in the car dealership
absolutely
was one of the real people, and we will have him on right after this.
Very nice.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What do you think about the relationship between our country and Kazakhstan because of the movie? How will it be affected?
I hope that will very much improve. I hope your companies of Walmart and Nike will come and put their factories in Kazakhstan, where we have hardest working 7-year-olds in all of the world. Please, let's get drunk. Let's drink America.
Before you get too celebratory here, you got... You're going up against James Bond in a couple of weeks at the box office.
Whoa,
and by the way,
the Daniel, new one.
And Daniel
yes.
Craig is here today. You're a fan.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meet this new James Bond, Mr. Roger Moore.
No.
We will wrestle with him. Yeah? You want to drink?
No.
You could be in 2,500 theaters on Friday. That's what I'm understanding. You have the potential to be a very, very wealthy man.
The money, we have made a deal with anti-communist organization Fox, where if we are number one, they will give us 250 lean mean grill machines. I am going to buy myself a new doorbell for my house. So my neighbor, Nusultan Turyakba, is jealous.
Congratulations again. Yeah. Come back after
only
a couple of hours.
Bar.
I want to celebrate tonight. Matt, can you recommend any good prostitute? He tell me you are the one to ask. Bye-bye.
Get ready for Ding Dong and Goat Screw, because here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, so we're crazy about the movie Borat.
Oh, yeah, everybody is.
Very nice.
I'm thinking, poor Will Ferrell. He's finally got a movie coming out where he doesn't just show his big, meaty stomach and ass.
Right.
He's got that movie that's almost a thinking man's comedy coming out this weekend.
Right.
And it's just his goddamn luck. It's going up against Borat going open wide this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
I think Borat's going to explode this weekend.
If you've seen Borat, at this point we just have to assume if you've not seen it, you know, tough teeth. I mean, we're going to talk about it. Joining us now is Jim Sell. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for joining us now. Jim is in the Borat movie. Jim works at Criswell Hummer in Maryland.
Jim, that's a good name for a guy that sells cars, Jim Sell.
Believe it or not, that's my born name, believe it or not.
That's amazing.
Now, Jim, you are great in the movie. Your scene is where Borat goes to look at cars is among the funniest. How did they approach you when they wanted to make the movie and have you sign a release? What is the setup that they gave you on this guy?
Well, what happened is back in June of 2005, the producer apparently walked through our showroom during the afternoon and must have handpicked me out, because about 4:15 I got a phone call from the producer who said his name was Todd Lewis from Number One American Productions.
So that's he goes by the name of that's the name they give you, Todd Lewis from Number One American Productions.
That's how he presented himself to me over the phone, correct.
All right.
And he said, we're doing a film, a documentary of a gentleman coming to this country, and he's going to be traveling from New York City to Malibu.
Documentary.
And what we want to do is he's going to be coming to our dealership, and they want to actually film the negotiating process of him looking at several cars and possibly buying a car and traveling across the country in it.
Now, at that point, do you say, yeah, that's no problem at all? And do they tell you they have paperwork to have you signed? Yeah, I mean, obviously, do you have to sign paperwork before or after the fact?
What they did the following morning when they showed up, he called me, he said, we're running early. Do you mind if we come in early? I said, that's no problem. I said, come on in. He got there with the filming crew and the sound crew before the gentleman from the foreign country got there.
Right.
And they said, hey, you know, we're going to put a wire on you, and we want to actually take some pictures. He'll be here shortly, and first we want to film you sitting at your desk here, there, Criswell. And when he gets here, we want you to come out and meet him and possibly sell him a car.
Now, is the whole auto dealership like a buzz at this? Is everybody kind of going, hey, man, this is great, or are they not paying attention to it? Or how big a deal is this to the dealership and everybody else that works there? A dealership's got people running around all over the place.
Yeah, they do, and they're kind of excited about it. They're more excited about it than I am, to tell you the truth.
Now, when they got there, And don't feel bad about this, because everybody got suckered in by this guy.
Right.
He's got the outrageous, you know.
Very nice.
That whole thing, he's got the suit. At any time, I mean, you were like everybody else. You just thought he was a crazy guy from Russia, right?
But when I walked up to him, and when I come out the side door of the Chevrolet, because I'm down the Chevrolet building, and when I come out, when I walked up to him, he was at the end of the driveway. For some reason, they didn't want him coming into the dealership. They wanted me to come out and meet him out there. And I guess for the reason being is they didn't want anybody to recognize him and spoil their stint. So when I walk up to meet him, and I put my hand out to shake hands with him, he's wearing his light blue sport coat and black high-top tennis shoes, and I put my hand out to shake hands with him, and he leans over and kisses my cheeks.
Both cheeks, right.
I mean, which is kind of weird to me, but I thought maybe in his country it's custom to.
Right.
So he hands me a pen. He says, "This is a gift from my country to you." And on one side is the American flag on the pen. The other side is like a KKK flag.
So, I mean, this is subtle stuff you don't even see in the movie that he's doing this thing. And are you taking it back as soon as you look at this pen or what? What do you make of this pen?
I just put the pen in my pocket and just glanced at it.
Now, did you think that you were actually, they said they wanted to film a negotiation, but did you think that during this, that you were actually going to make a sale out of this, that you might get a sale?
I didn't know. The way they presented it to me before he got there is that he was from this other country and the film was going to be shown in this other country. And what they said is the guy has plenty of money, he can buy any kind of vehicle he wants.
Okay.
And so they put this release in front of me, and then they hand me $150 and put a release in front of me at the same time and said, "This is just a standard release, go ahead and sign here."
All right, so Jim, now...
Oh,
now,
God, how many pages was it?
It was like about 1.5 pages.
Okay.
All right, so Jim, now the question is, the movie's out, I'm guessing you've seen it, and I hope you think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I went to see it up in Hagerstown with some friends of mine, and I was nervous till I seen what was actually shown.
You had no advance notice. They didn't give you a copy. They didn't say, "Hey, you're in this movie."
No.
I mean, you signed that release. You took that $150, and bam, that the last you heard of him, right? And then now you're going to see the movie.
Well, what happened is he was at the dealership between 2 and 3 hours,
right?
Filming, and there's a lot of stuff that they filmed that they didn't put in the movie. Some of the things that he said that I thought were actually, you know, I mean, just. You wouldn't believe some of the things that he said.
Oh, I think we would.
Shocking.
You probably would. So when you went to see yourself in it, and everybody's laughing, and fortunately for you, at least you weren't like the guy in Texas who said, like, you know, we hate homos and stuff like that.
You were
just a car dealer.
Yeah, I mean, you were just being very accommodating.
Dealing with a crazy guy. I would equate your role in the movie to the driving instructor. You just kind of went along with it. You were there for the ride. You weren't really made fun of, but you were given the opportunity, but because you didn't open your mouth and say anything really stupid.
No, he was trying to get me to do stuff, sitting inside the Hummer, I wouldn't fall into some of the things that he wanted me to fall into.
So he's been on the Ali G show. I'm wondering, you say he was at your dealership between 2 and 3 hours. Was anybody hip to this guy, or did he...
No, what happened is they kept everybody away while they were filming.
Right.
They wouldn't let anybody near this guy. And most of the filming was done between the Hummers and inside the Hummer.
Now, Jim, I've read that he has never laundered that suit that he does, that he wears when he does Borat.
I don't know. He had this...
Was he offensive smelling?
No, he had this real cheap cologne on, something that we had back in the 60s.
And Jim, obviously, you're a local celeb now because of this.
And you're going to be a bigger celebrity after this weekend because I think the movie's going to explode.
Are you selling any cars? Are you getting...
Let me tell you, I have no. People stopping in to say hi, and some people come in Saturday, said they saw the movie and they wanted to come up and meet me. But other than that, I mean, I still got the $150 that I made for doing the movie.
So we got you right up to the point where you were nervous going into the movie. What was your take on the movie after you saw yourself?
I was relieved after it was over. I'd hate to be in the shoes of some of the other people who were in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Some of the other people just hung herself. I thought, oh, my gosh, if I was in their shoes, I, you know.
You know what? Hey, Jim, I want to say something to you. I'm really glad to hear you say that they hung themselves, because like in any of those situations with the dinner, with the wiping and
right.
And the bathroom, at any time, any of those people could have stood up and said, you know, "This is outrageous. Get out of my house. You're nuts."
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But they didn't.
I would have thrown him out when he brought the bag of poop downstairs.
You were very, very cool in the movie, and I think you're going to find that you become more popular, as Mike said.
Well, there is no question.
This
weekend, we're already stalkers of this film. And Jim, really, you don't come across as anybody that's just, you know, you're doing your job. And the funniness is just the negotiation, the negotiating process that he goes through. You know, I'm curious, you know, when they got done, when they wrapped it up, was there anything that was said to you? Was there anything that would give you a clue that this was going to be something other than what they had billed it as?
Nothing at all.
Wow. Nothing at all.
Actually, when they were negotiating, some of the parts they cut off is he offered me $1,600 for a $70,000 Hummer. I said, how much? He says, I'll give you $1,600 for the truck. I said, sir, how much money is that in your country? He says, no, that's money in your country. I said, sir, you can't buy a $70,000 Hummer for $1,600. So then he offers to go to his truck and give me some dried meats from his country. And I said, sir, you can't do that. He says, my final offer, I'll give you the money, the dried meats, and you can have my sister. She's number four prostitute. I said, sir, you can't do that.
Oh, my God. Are you going to go see it again, Jim?
I had some people back up in Western Maryland, Cumberland area, that where I grew up, that want to go this weekend with me. And
you got to go, Jim.
Yeah.
But I guess the more you see it, the more you pick up, because when he talks to you, a lot of stuff you don't understand.
Right.
You know. I mean,
you know what's great about this? I mean,
Jim,
we're such fans of this movie, and you are so real, Jim. You are so real, and that just makes me want to run out and see this movie again, because I mean. And you just did what you did. And, you know, you're probably not familiar with the Ali G show or anything that this guy's done before. And, we just think the guy's a genius.
I got one more for you, and then we'll let you go. So you do the thing, and you sign the release, and I'm sure a period of time goes by, you don't think about it.
Right.
When did you start seeing the ads or hearing about this movie
called
Borat? And when did the light bulb go off saying, oh, my God,
right,
I'm involved in this movie that's a fake documentary?
Actually, it was in late August when FHM magazine, the editor called me and wanted to get a picture of me and do a article on me in FHM magazine.
Okay, so.
And he told me that he saw the movie and interviewed me for about a half an hour over the phone.
So then you figured it out. What was your first thought?
I was just thinking, I thought maybe he put some stuff in that I didn't even say. I mean, I tried to cover myself as best as I could when I talked to him.
You know, Jim, you do sound like, you're so real, you sound so down to earth. Would you ever, obviously the guy paid you $150, the movie made $28 million last weekend. You ever think about maybe just, getting your particular area of the dealership, your office at the dealership, and getting the movie poster and putting pictures of yourself out there? Because I really do think that you'd be able to sell more cars.
Right.
That.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
No intention of doing that, huh?
No, I'm more laid back. I'm,
Hey, Jim, can I ask, how old are you, sir?
55,
so I'm guessing, do you have kids?
I have a daughter, Ashley. She's 21. She'll be 20.
Oh, my God, you're going to be a hero.
Now, has your daughter seen you in the movie?
No, she's going to go this weekend.
I want to tell you something. You get ready, and I'm sure you've been a great dad your whole life, and I'm sure you've done everything the right way, but you wait until your daughter sees you in this film.
Yeah, because really, in that demographic, in that age
group, you're going to be king of the world.
Jim, I don't, listening to you, because you are down to earth, I really don't think it's hit you yet that, this movie did very well last weekend, but I really think it's going to be a phenomenon.
I mean,
and, we could be wrong, but I think we're really right about
it. From our moronic standpoint, it's maybe the funniest movie in the last 20 years.
It'll be remembered for years to come. I think so. I really do. Are you ready to handle that, Jim?
I don't know. I'm more laid back, and I just think if I made that much money, I made $150, and that's, so.
You're a good sport, and we are glad to have you on the show. We'll give you a plug here. Criswell Hummer. Where are you guys at in Maryland?
It's Criswell Chevrolet and Hummer. I'm in the Chevy building where the big flag is on Quincy.
Oh, sure, I know.
You're right up the street, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, very good, Jim.
And I sell Chevrolets and Hummers.
Very good.
It's been great talking to you. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for the insight. And maybe we'll call you next week just to see what your daughter thought about it. Because
I'd love to.
My wife got a big kick out of it once I was off the my scene was over, because she was nervous. But once Connie got saw that it was, I handled myself okay, she felt a lot better.
And Jim, one thing, without giving the movie away for anybody who hasn't seen it, and because we can't talk as explicitly as they do in that film, How about that scene in the bedroom? How about the scene?
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Jim,
that's something special, isn't it, Jim?
Jim, is that not...
Unbelievable.
That, yeah, okay. Thank you.
You know, I mean, he singled you out, Jim, but at least you weren't a room full of mortgage bankers. That's for sure.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Hey, good talking to you. Thank
nice
you for your time,
you.
Sir. All right, bye-bye.
That's Jim Sell. He was the auto salesman in the Borat movie.
Very nice.
Oh, my nice. God.
And I thought that was goddamn interesting to hear.
Absolutely
how they...
fascinating. And then we have this, the questions answered. I mean, there are not many questions you can ask him. $150, sign this release, and bingo.
And no idea until August, until the guy from FHM calls him.
Doesn't that make you want to go see the movie again? I mean, now because, I mean, obviously the thing with, you know, Pam Anderson was staged. And, I was telling Rob in the break, there's another scene in there that I wanted to get, the hooker. I think she was in on the joke, too.
She had to be because she was in too many scenes.
Right, exactly.
She was in too many scenes.
The guy is so unflappable.
But this guy is right. Jim Sell is right that he could have stepped on his D a million times. And if they were running tape on that guy for 3 hours,
oh my God.
You know they were just trying to catch him in one of those moments like you did with the guys from the rodeo in Texas.
the rodeo guy.
Good for you, Jim. Yeah. Good job. And Rob? Congratulations. We have for you a brand new, what is today, Wednesday?
Yes.
We have a brand new 2-day contract.
Hey, Robbie.
Get me into the weekend, right?
There you go.
I think it's really cool that they keep Borat isolated, last minute. It's really terroristic filmmaking.
Yes, hysterical, though, the little subtle things where he gives him the pen.
With a KKK.
He gives him a Klan pen.
Oh, my God.
And making him stay outside the dealership. It's really cool.
There's a strategy.
Absolutely.
You know, he's done that much of it. There's got to be a strategy.
You got to hide him. Because even though I had never seen Borat on the Ali G show, certainly a lot of people like my kid, Bart, who's 21, who immediately... said, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that character for, like, 3 years.
Right. Did you watch any of it on HBO last night?
Nah.
They had one of the funniest Borat episodes. He is in a country western bar, and he takes the stage, and he sings old Kazakhstan folk song, Throw the Jew Down the Well.
Nice.
The crowd sings along.
Oh, sure.
It's a good program.
There's something about talking to that guy that now makes me more eager to see it a second time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I know that we always talk enthusiastically about stuff and that we never really do it. But it would be nice to go one day, all of us.
Yes,
and get effed up and go see that movie.
Yes, I love that idea.
Wouldn't it be a good idea one day?
I love that idea because this movie... Don't you think this movie is going to explode this weekend?
Yes,
I think it's going to be so big.
Absolutely.
I really do.
The next time the Zephyr screws up and we can't do a show, we should just get drunk and go see Borat.
Yeah. Or the next time we get a little weather.
Yes.
Very nice. Fantastic.
All right, well, thank you, Jim. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Basically, what we know now, tomorrow morning's newspaper will read, Democrats take the House, Republicans hold on to the Senate.
Dan, That was a terrific announcement. That's terrific.
Well, thank you, John.
We sort of brought you in here, though, to, you know, give us a little bit more of that Dan Rather, you know what I'm saying? A little bit more of that homespun kind of...
How so?
For example, Hillary Clinton. We knew she was going to win in a landslide, but, I mean, how would you, Dan Rather, you know, describe the largeness of her victory?
It was a healthy margin. How about she ran away with it like a hobo with a sweet potato pie?
The Don and Mike Show.
All right.
And we'll have to get some lubricant, too.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
Very nice.
Here to spread their seed, Don and Mike.
I will undress you, and you will undress me, okay?
All right, you got it.
So you ever been with an old guy before?
Oh, come on.
Damn, you're very sexy. You have a boyfriend?
No, I don't. Bow, 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 bow.
Right. Okay, we could do a variety of things here.
I like variety.
Let me get my email back up.
Because I think that it's a good time for Rob to make a call to B.A. McBride.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me that you didn't pay attention to the last message.
To the last message. Hold on, let me pull my email up here very quickly. La 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 la. Blah, 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 blah. God damn, why is it so hard to do?
Computers in this building work very slowly.
Let me see. I don't have any messages today for anybody at our fan site.
Okay, good.
Mike, you should go there. Everything is centered around you now. They have your face all over the website.
I saw that. Wow. I saw that. They, as far as like degrees of interest that I would have,
to help you.
Like by my head. Yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate the concern.
And the other thing that I did want to mention to the good people who go to our fan sites is I also lurk at dnmshow.com or dnmshowforum, whatever the other one is. And I love the fact that when I go there and I read stuff, all they write is, thank God Don doesn't know that this is around. Thank God that Don...
So they think that they're keeping it a secret from you.
Why would you be fans of a radio show and have a message board and be upset that one of the guys on the show is actually reading what you write? Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose?
It would seem to me, I mean, if you've taken the trouble to set up the website...
We're allowed to have a show that people can comment on. You have a message board where you comment on the show, but you don't want us to comment on the message board where you're commenting on the show. And I just wanted to say to those people, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, y'all think that I'm so internet retarded. Not only have I lurked on all of our fan sites, I even go all the way back to the Usenet, the
bulletin boards, whatever.
No, it's... Jesus Christ, it's I think maybe Usenet is USENET.
Right.
It's the worst one. It's the I
thought. And there's another one there?
Yeah. It's the worst of the worst. I actually didn't look at it myself. I used to have the old monkey who was our producer used to just scour that thing to make sure that people weren't like posting our addresses there or anything.
Right.
Right. But for those of you
that's a long time ago.
For those of you out there, fans of the show, who think that I've just discovered the internet, like since we had our own website. Oh no, please. Come on. I play dumb real good. I play dumb much better than I play smart.
So there are three of them, you're saying? Are there three that are
There's at least three.
At least three. Is there anyone with that's haters? Like dnmhaters.com or anything like that?
Well, that would be probably the Usenet. That would be the worst one.
Okay.
All they do is spend time writing about how the show used to be great 15 years ago.
Of course. Yeah.
And you and I quit and gave up.
Okay.
And we don't do the show that we used to do anymore.
How do they find that out?
Well, I guess they just turn on the radio. But
damn, I thought we were keeping that a secret.
But I did have to mention to the good people at dnmshow.com. Where they write, boy, I hope Don, this is the one place Don hasn't discovered yet. I hope Don doesn't find out about this.
You know why they like hiding? They fear your witty barbs.
Well,
they want to do it clandestine. I thought they all wanted attention.
No, they don't.
No.
No, they don't.
And are you going to do to that website what I did when I mentioned the other one?
No, I hope it doesn't crash by me mentioning it. I'm really not trying to crash any of our sites. What I don't understand about our fan sites are why they want to come to the studios, they want to picnic, they want to have their picture taken, they want to come in the studio, they want to be a part of the show, like once a year, yet if we mention the name, or God forbid I say something negative about the site, Jesus Christ.
All bets are off.
They're up in arms.
Yes.
Anyway. Sacramento mentality. Howdy to you guys at the one where you think that I don't lurk.
Okay.
And I got news for
you. I'll have to lurk there now, too.
Not only do I lurk, I'm a member.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's going to get them excited.
You'll never track me down.
That is exciting.
Now you've challenged them.
Yeah, sure I have. Sure I have,
Wow.
That's great fun. Oh, I love the internet. I truly do. Maybe I'll write about something besides Rupert's blog in my blog, which I hope will be up tomorrow. And Buzz, we hope to get a blog from you as well, and Rob's blog about beer coming. During the break, I was looking on the internet and checked my email, and I said to the guys,
It's a game that Rob and I play almost every day.
Right.
How many pieces of junk mail am I going to get on my AOL account? Every day is like 24 junks and like one real one. So Rob says, I bet you get five from NFL.com trying to sell you crap. Right? So we're going through and I say, yeah, hold on. It's from Beth Ann McBride.
Oh.
Now, she writes, Dear Don, have sent you a download.
Hey, baby.
The title of her email is, Can You Smell a Hit?
So she sent you a pair of her corduroys?
It says, Dear Don, I have sent you an MP3 of the latest SpongeBob song. I got it from Nickelodeon in my email. They suggested using it after the election results. I don't know if you can use it anyway. It sounds a little Beach Boy-esque in the production value.
Hmm. No, Miss that's you. Why she thought you'd like it.
Right. Miss you, B.A.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice. She's still thinking of you and sending you things and her never-ending attempt to get her job back.
And I still do love B.A. But now I think it would be another good time for Rob to call and leave a message for Beth Ann.
Yes, when last Beth Ann left you some sort of material for the show, Rob called angrily, you know, letting her know that, it was subtle, but letting her know that, you know, he knows she's trying to get
his
show.
And maybe this time, Rob, you can ramp, why don't you come over here and pick up the telephone so she can tell that you are not, we'll just hear her say, hi, it's Beth Ann McBride.
Uh-huh.
And then she'll know that you're speaking on a telephone and she won't hear it processed through the telephone, or through the microphone, and know you're on the air. She's got a chance she'll pick up now. She's doing her own show.
Yeah, she's on the
call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Beth Ann McBride.
is not available.
There she is. Okay, now it's on hold. You got it? Okay.
So, tell her.
Now try to be serious.
We can't laugh too loud.
Try to be serious.
How much we appreciate.
Try to be serious.
Hey, Beth Ann, it's Rob. Don just told me that you sent him another piece of show prep, a piece of material or something. Listen, I got it under control up here, okay? Thanks, but no thanks. Keep that stuff for yourself. Use it if you want, but we're well under control at the Don and Mike show. We're not on the air right now, and just wanted to pass that along. As always, thanks.
That's right. That's the right length, too. Dripping. Got it under control. And if she does it again, perhaps you should, say, what are you doing?
Don't you listen?
You calling it back?
Yeah.
Of course I am.
Let's try to get her. We all had that bet.
Peter, you want to bet her?
No, get her as far as just by saying how upset Rob is. Rob's really upset.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Beth Ann McBride.
is not available.
I'm going to leave her one first.
Okay.
Hey, B.A., it's Don. We're in spots. I know Rob probably just called you. I don't know why he is being such a prick. That SpongeBob thing worked out great. And I don't know how to tell you this. We friggin' need you back. God damn, we need you back. He is such a screw-up. Call me tomorrow on my cell. Okay. I'm sure that whatever that money figure was can now be worked out. That SpongeBob thing kicked ass. Talk to you later. Bye. Don't call me tonight. I'm busy tonight. Call me tomorrow. Bye.
Perfect.
No. That is exactly the tone that I would leave for Beth Ann. I mean, that's the tone of our conversations.
Right.
Now, do you want to follow up?
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with Rob, though.
Okay.
Oh, good.
All right, good. Oh, you got a phone? You got the phone over there?
Yep.
Mike, wait, hold just 1 second.
What are you on? Seven?
I am on, God, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah, the one
six.
With the
okay, so you'll see that one go to hold as soon as we hear that it's Beth Ann's voice.
Hello?
Go ahead. Pick it up. Just pick it up off you.
Hey, B.A.? B.A.? Are you there? Yeah, how are you? It's Mike. What's going on? I don't know. We got that thing that Don was raving about, the SpongeBob thing that you sent along. In a good way. In a good way. You know, Rob's not exactly going crazy over it, though. Rob's feeling, I think, just a little bit threatened, but you know how he gets. it's just the way he is, you know. Look, the bottom line is you got to do what you got to do. But if you send it to Rob, it probably would be a good idea. He's, you know, his cheeks get all rosy and all that. How have you been? I'm breaking up.
Oh, dear.
Are you on a hard line?
Where are you? I thought you were on your radio show.
Oh.
Why don't you have a show on Wednesday? Oh, you have the doctor?
Oh, that's right.
Who
she
comes
does
it on Wednesday?
She does the call in with like a doctor.
Right. Oh, it's the financial program. How's that going for you?
He cares.
Yeah. You sound like you're breaking up too. Are you heading back to your apartment? What's
go.
That? No, I'm not on a cell phone. I'm on a hard line.
They were in spots at.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know Rob gets upset, but my advice would be just keep that on the kind of QT if you're going to send stuff. Because, you know, Don wants you back. You know that hasn't changed. Oh, we love you, too.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, you know, and I hope that stuff keeps coming. Send me some more personal email. All right?
Tell her everybody's coming to the
room
now.
I miss you, too, and sorry about the election. Okay.
I had to throw that in. There we go.
That was nice.
That was nice.
What'd she say? you know, it's hard. She's hard to read.
Yeah.
She's hard to read. I think she's probably aware of the fact that we have all called her within 3 minutes. And I think she was kind of... She was laughing and she's doing that. Okay. All right.
I was counting on the fact that today wouldn't be the day they had, like, Ask the Veterinarian on her show.
It's the financial advisor, Don. It's the financial advisor that's on her show. So she was... you know when she's giving that, okay, yeah. And I said, Don was raving about it. She said, good or bad? I said, oh, good. But Rob's a little upset. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I should send that stuff through him.
Ah.
So I don't know. That's when I thought I had her. And then it's just like, all right. And then she was breaking up, which helped because her cell phone was breaking up.
Right.
Because I guess she's heading back to her apartment because the financial show is on today.
How was her mood?
Her mood seemed exquisite.
Yeah.
See, she hasn't heard the messages yet. So now she'll go back and hear Rob's message and Don's message and absorb that.
Is it too much of a Buzz called her now?
No. I think we might as well throw it all at her right now.
He won't be able to pick up in there.
The Buzz has got
to
come in here.
Yeah. Buzz, come on in our studio, please. Let me see.
La la la. Buzz, your message should be, I guess, that we're having an on-air discussion if Rob should keep the job or not. And whatever else you want to throw in.
He might pick up again.
You sexy, sexy man.
Well, that's what we're counting on.
Okay. All right, hold on. There you go. I'm putting it on hold. Go ahead, pick it up. So now, see, we can't have Beth Ann say hi
right.
on the air. I mean, she wouldn't get mad about the FCC, but
no,
she just keeps the
it's
gag.
Policy.
And that's the gag. She not picking up?
Voicemail.
Maybe she's listening to the other messages.
She probably is.
Okay, Buzz. Spotlight on Buzz.
What's going on?
Beth Ann, hi, it's Buzz. I don't have much time. I'm calling during a break. Things are really crazy and tense around here. You don't know how much you were missed. Rob's in all kinds of trouble and people are fighting. It's a mess. And I don't know. Maybe you could call me tonight or something. You need to know about this and we need to get this straightened out. Today we're having the worst show we've ever had. So really, if you could call me back, we need to talk. Thanks, B.A.
Hold on. Tell her what you want her.
And Beth Ann, and, you know, on a personal note, I do miss you. Take care. Bye.
Did you tell say he wants you?
Good acting, though.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Oh, boy. So what do you want Joe to tell it?
Or John.
Hello there. Everything's gone crazy. Rob put his hand through a wall.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, come on in here. Joe.
Yeah. And, you know, incidentally, the fact that I'm the only one that's gotten on with her and she's picked up,
yes.
You know what I call that?
What?
Karma.
Joe, come pick up that line right there. See the one that's ringing? There you go.
The one I just put on hold right here.
Oh, that one. There you go.
Good man.
Hello.
Okay.
Excellent.
It's ringing.
Ringing.
And Joe, do whatever you feel like.
You can ad lib. Spotlight on one of the world's great ad libbers, Joe Ardner.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the charade to be somehow messed up.
I disagree, Mike.
I do too.
The button down mine.
Man, can you give me a call tonight on my cell at home? We need to talk. Rob had a total freak out, kind of like when I walked off the show. And I don't know, maybe you can help it out, straighten it out with Don. He won't talk to me, obviously. And Mike's, you know, Mike. And Buzz thinks he can do something, but you know how Rob feels about him. So call me and we'll see if we can iron this out. Thanks. Bye.
Hey,
bravo. Bravo. Joe, I had no faith in you.
Joe Ardinger does not drop the ball.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Well done, Joe.
Did he identify who he was, though?
I don't think he asked it. He's Joe.
Right.
He is Joe.
He's Joe.
And the only suggestion I would have would be if John Norman called her and asked if they had any openings down there.
John?
Here he comes.
Come in, John.
Come on in, John.
Because you can't stand it.
Wait, hold on.
What?
She doesn't like me and never has.
That's your premise. I know we were never close, but I need a gig.
What's that?
That's your premise. I know we were never close, but I need the gig.
Close, okay.
Because you just got fired.
She never liked me.
Even better.
She never liked me. That's funny.
Or you could go in another direction.
Huh?
I know you've never liked me. I don't like you either. I want to tell you, they're talking about bringing you back, and I'm telling them not to.
Please don't. Whatever you like.
It's up to you. There you go. It's on hold. That's it. Line 12.
Right.
Last person calling Beth Ann.
I just think you're going through all these. This is great.
Sitting there.
And she's still, you're getting voicemail, right? So she's still not picking up. She's still just driving 25 and listening. Driving that old beat up Volvo 25 miles an hour.
All the faster.
Heading back to her.
Does she have any pets?
Car smells like a cat.
She has a dog.
That's right. Car just smells like a woman that has 1,000 cats.
John Norman, you might remember me from the Don and Mike show. I know we never got along all that well, but with things going, you know, it's really weird around here. Like, you know, I know Joe called and said that Rob stormed off the show, and I got fired. So if you have any openings, please give me a call. You can get me in the office. You know the old number. It's the same as your old office number. So I hope to hear from you soon. Take care.
Everyone,
and it's complete.
Everyone has stepped up to this. That's everyone has good. Stepped up in their own way.
That's pretty good.
It's the old number in your office. Call me. What will she make of that? Oh, it's fun. Even like we can just reach out from long distance.
Yes.
And now, you know what we got to do? We've got to download whatever the stupid SpongeBob.
Of course we do.
We got to see what it is that you sent along.
Of course we do.
To see if it's any good or not.
We can do it in the break.
Okay.
Rob deleted it.
Okay, we will. We got to break right now. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John
gay.
Is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
He's a fag.
Using their words to thin the herd. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, now, Buzz will be having an hour of gloating coming up. The hour of gloating for the elections.
I like it when you put the whole package, the whole gay package together. I mean, musically, taped, you stir it all together there.
We got the Craig coming up. It's a good Craig today.
Yeah.
We also have the Beth Ann song that you sent. And, now bear with me because she curses. I just checked my voicemail on my cell phone. She has already called back.
Oh, dear.
So I'm going to... No, no, no. You're going to like it. It's cute.
Okay.
I'm going to pot it down when she says the S word.
Gotcha. Okay.
So no need for anyone to hit the dumb button.
All right.
Okay. I've already heard the message.
Got it. Very good.
Okay.
We'll see what she has to say.
Probably heard all her voicemails.
Well, by now she's had time to listen to all of our voicemails.
Right.
Right. Oh, so there's my phone ringing.
That is the Batman ring. Don't answer it, Don.
Thank you, Buzz.
He's positively giddy today.
Give you a little, just a little instruction as to how long it actually takes. There it is. Okay.
Please enter your...
One new message. Come on.
First skipped message.
Here it is.
Don, it's Beth Ann. I just listened to all the messages. That is the funniest...
She said S.
I've ever heard. I am still laughing. It's so funny. Yeah, SpongeBob song. All of a sudden, that Friction song. But it wasn't so bad after all. Anyway, that was really funny. That was so funny. Have a good night. Bye.
End of message. To delete this message... Yeah. Message deleted.
Okay, so here now is...
Am I the only one who heard a tremor of disbelief?
Here's what you said. This is the song we're supposed to play after the election.
Yes. From Beth Ann McBride, our former beloved producer. SpongeBob.
Came up and smiled at me.
Rob just handed me the hood that he quits.
Why would she send us? Because she's in a part of the world where she doesn't know what's going on.
She misses us.
Okay. Hold on.
The problem is email. Email has made it too convenient for one to inconvenience another.
Now there's,
and what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week?
She sent that to me because she thought it would be helpful on the show or because she thought that I would like it musically?
Well, I think both. It does sound a little Beach Boys-y.
Don't you understand what she's doing?
But if this was...
She's reaching out to you.
She's always done.
Don't you understand what I'm doing? I'm reaching back. I want Beth Ann
and
to
reaching
start.
Around.
It's a sunshine day. It's a whipped cream way or whatever the hell that is.
Whipped cream day.
It's a whipped cream day.
I want Beth Ann to star in HJ Across America, Volume 9.
But incidentally, speaking of that, since you brought it up, Buzz, to give me the recommended website, and I did pop upstairs, and...
You order something?
No, I didn't order anything. No fuss, no muss.
Yeah.
And happened to scroll down, they have the subjects.
Yeah.
And your subject's in there.
Your series...
But it's written in Dennis Rodman style.
Your series, by the way, is...
Oh, baiting.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Your series, by the way, is up to volume 16 now.
The HJ Across America volume.
You found it in your DVD thing?
I have found it. Yes.
Thank you, Buzz.
Certainly.
You're the greatest.
Got it covered.
Mike, it's Wednesday. It's gay day.
It is indeed.
Here we go. Here's your copy.
Thank you.
This is from today's USA Today. The purple section, the life section, our friend Craig Wilson. Now, last week he had something. We actually had a lot of stuff going on. Like Wednesday, we had strip trivia last week and the Bay City Rollers and...
It was a bubble one last week. This is a home run.
Yeah, this is good. Really what we're looking for.
And it discusses the topic of a former Charlie interview.
Really?
Yeah.
Now we're going to see who gets lucky. So it's kind of like we're playing cards when we have this.
Without further ado... Hold on, that's the wrong shot. I want to get the long version. Here we go.
Play the LP.
Playing vinyl.
From USA Today. The final word. By Craig Wilson. Children easily derail. Adult thinking about toys.
Why don't I start again and actually read it a proper way? Take two.
Read it right, boy. Children easily derail. Adult thinking about toys.
Okay, you stop right there.
On Thursday, the folks at the Strong National Museum of Play in Rochester, New York, will announce which toy will be inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame this year. Last year, they wisely chose the cardboard box, perhaps the best toy of all. This year, the nominees run the gamut from the Atari game system to the Easy Bake Oven, the skateboard, the rubber duck, Lionel Train, and Twister.
I came along too early for the Atari game system, and in my day, a boy wasn't allowed to spin the dials of an Easy Bake Oven. No matter that the best chefs of the world are mostly men, it was only for girls. Ew! Winner!
for rubber duck?
I've never had one. Either as a child or as an adult. Not sure why or what that means.
I did, of course, have a Lionel train. It seems every boy in 1958 had a Lionel train. Most of our fathers thought of that because it was the fathers who were far more interested in toy trains than were the sons.
I still remember my dad. Imagine that for a man. I still imagine my dad. I still remember my dad laying out the track on a piece of plywood he had painted green. He said he did that to make it look as if the train were traveling through fields. It didn't. It looked as if the train were traveling over a piece of plywood painted green. But I didn't tell him that. I didn't want to ruin his fantasy.
The Wilson train operation was a modest affair. It was set up in the basement. We had a village. Trees, a stop-and-go tower. Dad even added some elevated tracks for drama.
We had a stop where the train pulled up, and a little man on the dairy car would emerge to set milk cans on the platform. God damn,
this is a good one today.
Or at least he did until he got tired and decided not to do that anymore.
There was a cattle car.
Of course, dude.
And an oil car and a lumber car. But the thing I like most were the little white pills you put in the engine stack. Pellets that made puffs of smoke as the train chugged through the fields of green. Lovely little puffs of smoke.
In truth, I find it all kind of boring. But again, I didn't want to spoil my father's fun. So I played along.
After a few years, the train, the village, the plastic trees, and the recalcitrant ferryman were boxed away and put in the attic, not to be brought out again until my brother's three kids arrived on the scene.
But they were from a far more action-packed generation and had little patience for just watching a train go around in circles.
Stupid, I recall, was the word they used. So they improvised.
Before long, some of the residents of the train village found themselves lying across the track, seeming to be rescued before screaming to be rescued before being run over.
One I remember distinctly, a Mrs. Jones, who was married to Farmer Jones.
A faggot.
She would stand on the track, defying the train to run her over, which it did repeatedly.
I'm not sure this is the kind of activity that Lionel had in mind, but it was a perfect way to pass a winter's afternoon for the youngest Wilson. It even worked for their uncle.
My niece, Laura, seemed to be into this killer sport the most.
Even though I tried to interest her in an easy bake oven. But she said she would have nothing to do with such sexist thinking.
And good for her!
Yeah. Does he deliver?
He does indeed.
That's home delivery, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. He's getting more comfortable with just a little look into his past, and I truly enjoy that.
Farmer John.
Oh, man.
Little odd pellets with puffs of smoke. Pa Wilson.
The Wilson train operation was a modest affair. Do you note the bitterness in this particular one?
Yes.
There's just a little bitterness.
Yes. And in my day, a boy wasn't allowed to spin the dials of an easy bake oven.
They put it away in the attic, not to be brought out again until my brother's three kids arrived on the scene.
How many must hear that over and over?
Where are my grandkids?
Where's my fag son?
Come here, come sit on Grandpa's knee.
Oh, is that the man whose ass you're with all the time?
I didn't tell him that. I didn't want to ruin his fantasy.
Sometimes a train going into a tunnel is just a train going into a tunnel.
Hello, Craig, it's Pa.
Oh, looks like Lauren Green.
I read your girly comments today in the newspaper.
Sorry, Dad.
I didn't like playing with the trains unless I got to drop little pellets into the smokestack.
Why, I like your brother and his three children more than you. And oh, Jack's ass smells.
That's what you always say, Dad. Stupid train.
Stupid Greg.
Playing along with Dad's fantasy. Let's play SpongeBob SquarePants.
I'm really, really trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
You can't.
In some way, it harkens back to a time when she was actually here.
Yeah, it's the magic of Beth Ann McBride.
She's lost a little more touch with reality being down in that, what do they call it, the triangle?
Right. The triad.
I was just thinking about a triangle.
About Beth Ann's triangle?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Probably be a little more rounded.
I'm thinking square.
Square.
Square, like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Right. I think we're thinking about the same thing.
You know what I'm thinking?
I'm thinking oval.
Oval.
No. You know that the
used to be square.
The Domino's brownie that comes walking up to your door? Uh-huh. That's what I'm thinking.
Really?
Just
only larger.
Big and gigantic. Very nice. Big and gigantic.
Wonderful.
Okay, well, we'll call Beth Ann next Never Day. We'll talk to her about that someday. Anyway, Buzz has been over there just with, just talk about a four-hour erection that will not go away.
He's very excited today.
So his lead story is, he's already told us this, America's say, what was your lead again?
It's to capitalize it, America to Bush. You suck.
Okay. So Buzz's unbiased view of yesterday's elections.
Fair and balanced coverage continues.
Yeah, I see it.
And let the boy get it out of his system. God knows he's been building up the pressure for months now.
Don't gloat too much, Buzz.
And it's not really gloating, in my opinion.
It's okay. Sweet release.
Sweet release.
We'll be back with Leroy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The word from Planet Crackpot.
The Don and Mike Show.
Beyond AM, beyond FM, there's PM with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mella.
I'm coming out, so you better get the party started.
Before we go to Leroy's gloating, I do have to take back one thing I said about Stinky Pinky.
Yes?
When they first started Sunday Night Football, I said I hated that goddamn her standing 20 feet in the air, punching and singing, I wait all week for Sunday night. Mm. Sorry, I'm flip-flopping. I love that open, and I find her to be...
You like Pink now?
Incredibly. Always like Pink, Mike. But, I mean, the girl Pink.
Ah, yeah. You like her now. Why the flip-flop?
Well, because I'd seen her videos, and I like her songs okay, but she always had that... Just kind of smelly Courtney Love look to me.
She's got a great voice.
And it's not that they...
It's not demonstrated that well on that song, but she's got an incredible voice.
It's not that they cleaned her up at all, but on Sunday Night Football in the opening, she's done that thing where she punches. You're she's right. Like, the two biggest teams on Sunday night. Bum, 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 bum. And I actually find myself turning the volume up and watching the beginning of that. Unlike the idiotic ESPN, Are You Ready for Some Football, with the band of has-beens that I noticed includes... Charlie Daniels and Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick.
You see, I don't like it when girls punch.
Back.
Yeah.
And you make specific. Your feelings very clear.
Speaking of Pink.
On that subject.
Here is our friend Leroy. Hi. And now it's time for Gloating 06.
No. That's not about gloating. Look, all I'm saying is that when the American people put your disapproval rating at 61% and then vote a lot of your friends out of Congress, in my mind, it's their way of saying you suck. And Americans were champing at the bit to say it. In Virginia, for example, officials are expecting the final count to show a record turnout.
Buzz, I got to ask you something. Yes? It has nothing to do with what you're saying.
Okay.
Is it champing at the bit or chomping
at the bit? It's chomping. I was raised to say chomping at the bit. That's what I always knew. But looking up, doing a little research in it, the phrase really is champing at the bit.
Here's why I ask. Of course, the part of the paper I read, the sports section.
Right.
They were talking to the Washington Post about our team, the Redskins. Uh-huh. We got this guy, T.J. Duckett.
Right.
Who they traded like an S-load of draft picks to.
Right.
Atlanta, and they don't use the guy at all.
Right.
And the running backs coach said he is champing at the bit.
That's the real thing.
And
And I read it in the newspaper.
Really? Yeah.
That's why I stopped because I read it in the newspaper the other day and I thought...
It's a horse term. You would think that they're chomping on their bit.
Chomping at the bit.
Yeah, that's what I thought too all my life until I recently researched this.
So it is a horse term, obviously.
It is, absolutely.
So when a horse bites down on the bit, that's champing?
Champing at the bit.
I thought it was a radio term and it was the bit that you did on the radio.
Thank you, Rob. In Virginia, they are expecting the final count.
Oh, look at here.
To show a record.
Look what Rob brought along for the news.
Rob's fan club. They're not booing, they're saying Rob.
And they're saying it by rubbing their legs together. Almost as many people voted in Virginia in this midterm election as voted in a presidential election year. The turnout did not favor the president's party. It was certainly the most expensive midterm election in campaign history, the two parties spending nearly $3 billion on it. After yesterday's vote, across the country, Republican senators, governors, congressmen, and state representatives were fired and replaced with Democrats. For the first time in 12 years, the House now belongs to the Democrats, and they appear to have the Senate, depending on the outcome of recounts here in Virginia and Montana. Either way, the system of checks and balances you learned about on Schoolhouse Rock are back. We have once again a two-party government, and things are already starting to change. The president says he's disappointed, but he has finally heard our discontent with the Iraq War. He's replaced Rumsfeld with former CIA head Robert Gates as our new Secretary of Defense. In a midday news conference today, he called on Democrats to work with him on his agenda, and he said an American defeat in Iraq is not an option. He is, however, now a lame duck president, historically.
We will work with everyone to make the USA a better country.
He also, during that 1 hour little look into his soul today, including the angles, like I said before, of his body language,
right.
He made it very clear that while America disagrees with him, and he gave the whole company line, he will try to work with the Democrats.
Right.
His number one job is still keeping America safe, and for the next 2 years, at least, what he was saying is, you know, you can change stuff,
right.
But I still am the guy with my finger on the easy button.
And he's got the veto pin.
Don't forget the veto pin. But you saw his all of his angles, right? Like from the from the rear.
Yeah.
the gentle cleft of his buttock.
I told the guys here in the beginning of the show today, this 1 hour thing that this mea culpa that Bush had today. They had an angle that I've never seen at a press conference,
right,
where they had him from behind the podium, and as he was being asked questions that were obviously busting his balls,
right,
he would stand with one foot, his right foot would be on its toe, nervously moving back and forth, waiting for the question to finish. Then he would plant his feet and look down at his cheat sheet to answer.
And then when he'd get another question, he'd go back to that other foot position, like he's a sprinter getting ready to run out of the block.
Did you see the other really weird angle?
What?
The Nancy Pelosi upskirt.
For the first time in his...
High depth.
Wow. For the first time in his presidency, Mr. Bush faces a Congress that won't so easily rubber stamp his policies.
Andy Crow.
There may be other changes. Democrats say here's what they hope to do in their first 100 hours on the job.
Lisa Myers.
Baby.
Yeah.
First 100 hours.
Andrea Mitchell.
Raise the freaking minimum wage as high and as fast as possible, something the Republicans have steadfastly refused to do.
Lard McCarthy.
Pay-as-you-go government. No more passing on debts to future generations. A better prescription plan for senior citizens and adopting the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission.
LC.
Wait, what? We didn't do that already? The list goes on.
LC. Oh,
who's that? I don't know.
This Grant Show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, winner. She's the biggest pig on TV.
She is.
Absolutely.
Did Joe hear about the minimum wage?
Oh, my God. It's a big
exciting
day.
Exciting news. Yeah.
Joe.
We're going to adopt the 9/11's recommendation, the Commission of 9/11 Commission's recommendations. I'm excited.
What?
I'm sorry.
What?
I don't know.
What was that?
I was backtracking and doing a poor job of it.
What was that?
Adopting.
What are you doing? Is the point of this story that you're saying all the things now that are going to happen?
They say, the Democrats say these are the things.
He is pumped up.
They're going
He's more excited than I've ever seen him.
The Look Democrats say these are the things they're going to attack in their first 100 hours on the job.
Okay. That's believable.
Including adopting the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission.
That's really believable, Buzz, and I'm on your side.
I'm just saying what they're saying. I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying what they're saying. That's all I'm saying.
You know, that's like the Oakland Raiders saying, hey, we're going to win the next 10 games and watch us. Watch us!
And we're going to do it all in 1 week, not in over 10 weeks.
And to some degree, it's also payback time with investigations planned for big tobacco.
Hold on. I got to stop you again.
Yes.
Let me ask Mike.
Yes.
Mike's a political junkie.
Yes.
Who has slightly less of an agenda than you do, at least on the radio.
Do you believe this 100-hour crap? That sounds to me like a load of BS that in the first 100 hours that we take over, we are going to change all of this immediately, like boom, 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 boom.
First 100 hours, we're not going to have a definitive majority in the Senate. So, I mean, but Congress, they might start to enact legislation. They might have a game plan
can
like
start
this.
These things.
But no, I mean, this is just like the contract with America. It sounds nice. It's a broad concept, but you got to wait and see what's going to happen. You know what? There's only one thing that happened, and it was definitive, and it was real, and whether it was planned, it doesn't matter.
Or rummy.
It was planned, rummy.
Yeah.
And that was planned, and every military leader that's, you know, of significance, it seems to me, has been calling for this guy to get the hell out because he hasn't been doing what he was supposed to do. And I think that right there is worth the election.
Don't you think for someone who's not political like me, if you watch this, and I was for the Democrats, but then I hear, you know, like what Buzz said, I heard it earlier today as well. And the first 100 hours, we're going to, it's like, Jesus, you know, don't oversell me on this.
22 right. hours are gone already, and they haven't done anything. They haven't done jack.
Well, the thing is, you have to, it's actually the first 100 hours when they take over.
Right.
Which
which won't be till January.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So really, January. Technically, if you really want to see already, they got you. See? It's already pretty good. First 100 hours, they got Christmas and Thanksgiving in between.
And again, you know, I want you to understand and everybody to understand that I'm not saying this is what they'll do. I'm simply saying this is what they say they will do.
Do you know my purely animalistic, partisan nature, one of the things that made me happy is some of those real Nimrods that aren't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and unfortunately, say what you will, a lot of those Nimrod guys, I mean, the real nerdniks, the kind of guy that's going to tell you how to live your, you know, literally how to live your life, you know, that God chose me to be a candidate. Those kind of guys, some of those guys went by the wayside.
They did.
And it was fun seeing the Hammer interview today.
Tom DeLay, the Hammer.
Well, and one other investigation they hope to start is into defense contracts such as Halliburton's. Now, before the election, the president said if the Democrats win, the terrorists win. Well, for what it's worth, in Minnesota, they did elect a Muslim to Congress, a man who helped organize the Million Man March. But the religion of this Catholic-born man wasn't even an issue. Wasn't an issue in the campaign. Because Keith Ellison is also a Democrat, and to a lot of people, at least in Minnesota, that was all that mattered. He wasn't the Republican. And he's now the first Muslim to serve in Congress.
Enemy. Rob, stop hissing.
I'm not.
You're both pissed.
You're going to want to keep it going for this one. Congress also has its first female Speaker of the House.
Why don't I just go home and feed your cat dog food tonight?
And add this to the list of things.
What's next? Katie Couric during the news?
It never happened. Never happened.
And add this to the list of things we never thought we'd say. Arnold Schwarzenegger re-elected as governor of California.
With a landslide.
Goddamn right.
It's our story when we return.
Incredible!
Goddamn right, Buzz.
Yeah. And I think his wife looks great.
Looks like James Carville.
This man is lying. We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Time for more.
Victims of laxative abuse. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Time for more Leroy.
Let's see what's happening in Leroy's corner. Hi, Leroy.
Hi, Don Mike. Yes, it's true. Arnold Schwarzenegger, re-elected governor of California.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hi.
Quoting Arnold, I mean...
Yeehaw!
Or that. Quoting Arnold, I love doing sequels. He won in a landslide, partly by distancing himself from the president. He also did it by embracing global warming as an issue and by dropping his habit of calling Democratic lawmakers girly men.
I love doing sequels. I love doing sequels.
The funniest thing is when I watched that press conference last night, that little victory celebration, I didn't hear those guys on the on my TV. I must have to adjust the sound.
You didn't have 5.1, did you?
I love doing sequels.
Can't argue with
that. I love doing sequels.
The Zig Heil tape is so clear, it's almost as if one of us were there in person recording it. Arnold Schwarzenegger also dropped his habit of calling Democrats girly men, and that macho talk worked in bodybuilding in the movies, but it actually hurt him, has hurt him in his political career. He learned from that, though, and changed his ways. The Arnold who was reelected is merely charming. And as a result, he's one of the few Republican governors who survived yesterday.
And he is going to be, I mean, I think he will be cockier than he has ever been.
Out of control.
In his life, I hope so.
It'll go to his head, just like everything else. But it wasn't just a bad, it wasn't just a day for saying no to Republicans. It was also a day to say no to some conservative ideas, at least in certain parts of the country. South Dakotans were voting on what would have been the strictest anti-abortion law in the country. They said no. Arizonans were considering banning gay marriage. They said no.
Hold on, I'm getting a bulletin buzz.
Yes?
I find pregnant women very erotic.
Wow.
Just a bulletin.
And Missourians considered banning stem cell research and said no. Now who's laughing, Rush or Michael J. Fox? These are all proposals from the far right, and in three states, voters refuse to buy into them.
Another bulletin, excuse me, Buzz.
Yes?
He is trying to get into her panties.
You know, don't mind those bulletins.
He's getting constant bulletins.
Several states also voted to raise their own minimum wages.
It's the same two bulletins over and over.
The first one is from a friend of mine, mm-hmm. a guy who enjoys many of the same interests I do.
I find pregnant women very erotic.
And the other one is from, what's his name, Russell Crowe.
He is trying to get into her panties.
Thank you, Russell. There were conservative victories. The gay marriage ban passed in Virginia, naturally, and in several other states. A few states could still go either way, absolutely. Which in itself is gay.
Right on.
Right on. Other conservative victories. Michigan dumped affirmative action. Arizona made English its official language. And the proposals to liberalize marijuana laws in Nevada, Colorado, and South Dakota also failed.
Sorry, Buzz.
But voters in a handful of states did vote to raise cigarette taxes. Only Missouri voted no on that. Got to give the stem cells something to cure.
Why'd they do that?
But mostly, R.J. Reynolds and Big Tobacco spent their blood money in vain trying to fight those tax increases and the tough new anti-smoking ban in Ohio. By the way, the plan to turn Arizona's election day into a million-dollar lottery.
Yes.
That was also voted down.
They had a smoking ban in Ohio?
They have one now, yes. The voters approved it yesterday.
Whole state?
Well, it's very, very restrictive, yes.
Oh, dear.
Are you going to cancel your vacation to Cleveland?
Did you remember?
Columbus.
I'm sorry.
You can't spell Ohio without ho.
That's true.
Thank you.
Did you get that from one of your bulletins?
Do you want to check the wire for another bulletin?
I came from the inner government.
Who are the bulletins coming from? I'm very curious. Who's the voice of the bulletins? I'm really not sure.
I know the,
or is it
I
just
know the
random?
First one.
I told you the first one was Russell Crowe.
The second one was Russell Crowe, yes. Who's the first
who is,
one?
Who is John Cryer? John Cryer from Two and a Half Men.
John Cryer, who's dating your girlfriend from that television in...
Right, Lisa Joyner.
Right.
I find pregnant women very erotic.
Is that from his show?
Yeah, Two and a Half Men.
Right.
He is trying to get into her panties.
He sounds so happy.
He does.
But there's one other conservative idea Americans are not buying, and it wasn't even on the ballot. It wasn't an election issue yesterday. A new survey shows that most Americans, regardless of their religious or political affiliation, favor total sex education over the teaching of just abstinence. This current government's been spending $170 million a year teaching abstinence.
Did you bring condoms with you tonight?
84% of us favor a balanced education, abstinence, and more practical
ways. I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
In high school, they didn't have to teach me that.
Abstinence?
You had a nice ass?
No, abstinence.
I will have to get some lubricant, too.
Well, now they have to teach it, Rob, and that plus practical ways of preventing unwanted pregnancy and sexually transmitted disease. That's the kind of curriculum most American parents want.
So you've ever been with an old guy before?
Regardless of their religion or political affiliation.
I will undress you, and you will undress me, okay?
25% of American kids have had sex by the age of 15. 38% by age 16.
I can't control my horny level.
47% by age 17.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
This University of Pennsylvania study shows that 70% of conservatives prefer complete sex education over just the abstinence.
Do you have the figure for 35 years old?
Just keeps getting longer and longer.
It sure does.
Sure does.
The headline, Woman Has Anderson Cooper on Her Leg. The explanation you deserve when we return.
We'll wipe it off, for God's sake.
Ew!
Thank you, Leroy. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Bow.
Here's Don and Mike to talk for you.
And here is our friend, Leroy.
Hi, Don and Mike.
And we're all going to Rob's house for dinner tonight.
Yep.
We've decided of all the meals that our women slaves are making for us tonight, Rob is the winner. And incidentally, what a surprise, Rob's wife is in town.
She is, which is going to be nice tonight. Yeah,
isn't that going to upset your routine?
You know, I like a little variety. She brought the kids and the magnificent breasts, and she's home for 3 days.
3 days. 3 long days.
3 days.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
A Kentucky woman is dead this evening, and judging from her religion, God had something to do with it.
Okay.
The 48-year-old woman was in church handling snakes. It's part of her religion, even though snake handling is illegal in Kentucky. The Gospel, Gospel of Mark says the sign of a true believer is the power to take up serpents without being harmed. So this woman either had doubts or doesn't know jack about snake handling.
Those effing snakes off my effing plane!
Finally...
That's Sam Jackson, everybody.
We also never thought we'd say it's difficult to get CNN's Anderson Cooper off a woman's leg, but there it is. Maybe you saw the Canadian woman. Maybe you saw the Canadian woman who got drawings of Regis and Kelly tattooed on her right leg. She went on that show and they autographed her leg, and then she had that turned into a tattoo.
How are you?
On her left leg.
It's a whipped cream day.
On her left leg, she now has the face of CNN's Anderson Cooper. Quoting her, he's nice to look at, and when he does the news, you can tell it's emotionally hitting him. He's not just telling the story.
360 coming up.
He's feeling the story.
Yeah.
So she got a tattoo of Anderson Cooper on her leg.
Way up on the thigh.
Someday I'll show you where I put Lou Dobbs. I'm Buzz
Lou Dobbs
on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Lou Dookie
Dobbs. Lou Dookie Dobbs.
All right, that's it. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Lou Dobbs.
New episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 All right there, winner at dinner.
Who wants beets? No. Delicious beets. Overcooked.
Red.
Hope you enjoy your taco.
This is the Don and Mike Show.